Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 12th day of September, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is mediocrity in our race. A bumpy ride is coming. FISAgate. Q posts. The ARC Project, and an open mic. Before we get into the call, we dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cumru Ambeth, my fellow Welshmen. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible so that we'll allow time for others to participate. We are in the question and answer mode. Which means that whether you're on a computer or calling in by your phone, you are automatically muted until you do one of two things. On the phone, you have to hit a star 6 to alert me that you wish to be brought onto the call, and then I will unmute you. Or if you're on a computer terminal, you have a button or an icon there that should say question and answers or Q&A. And you would press that, it will do the same thing. It flags me to bring you onto the call. But other than that, you will stay muted, so you don't have to do anything at your end. We want to give a shout-out to Jimmy up there in Tampa with bankversusutv.com and his radio and television audience up there. And welcome to the program. And it's a joint effort, like a network of believers and truth seekers out there that are putting so much pressure on the status quo, the deep state, the Illuminati. I mean, it's got 1,000 names probably for these culprits. They're basically just evil people that have been running the show for far too long. Also, we want to let you know about our website. At the website, you can contact me. Also, we have a lot of information there about health, natural health especially, any kind of warnings that you need to know about. We have a daily mail page where if you don't get on my email list, I put up pertinent links to articles and or YouTube presentations that are talking about significant events happening in our world today. So, again, PastorDan.net, it's just that, PastorDan.net. And also there is a pages with archive information, archived programs. These commanders' calls are archived there as well. Also, we have information on getting up to speed on major topics of interest within this message, the identity message. And some folks who are new might say, why is it called the identity message? Because we correctly identify the people in the Bible. Your modern-day church world, which is falling apart as we speak, especially the Roman Catholic imposter version. In the church world, the lamestream churches, the whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones, they don't talk about the truth of Scripture. They don't talk about the importance of race. It is important. They don't talk about a peculiar race that Yahweh held close to Himself. You know, the Scriptures talk about it, but the church doesn't talk about it. And because the church, meaning the pastors and Sunday school teachers, don't talk about it or play it down, then the sheep sitting in the pews, since they're not going to look for themselves, then they don't know about it. And that's why the Scriptures condemn these false teachers and false prophets that walk amongst us that preach the doctrines of devils instead of His simple truths. Yahweh's law is all contained in just over 700 rules and regulation. That's it. Everything is covered within 700 rules and regulations contained in your Bible. Most of them are common sense, but even if you don't have common sense, you could read them there. And if you just followed those rules, even the Ten Commandments, if you just followed the Ten Commandments, how much better our world will be. If you properly translate them, and there's another rub, and I have a short video I did on the Ten Commandments and the fact that even the Ten Commandments, they can't get right. And of course, the worst commandment as far as poor translation and has caused so much heartache and misery is thou shalt not commit adultery. That's not what the original said. In fact, in the Septuagint, that's simply oukmoukesous. That's all it says, oukmoukesous. Ouk in the Greek is like not in English, and nicht in German, and no in French and in Spanish. No, it just means don't. And moukesous is the Greek word for mongrelization or hybridization. You don't do either one. And it means not only with people, it means in fabric, it means in seeds, it means in your vegetation, it means in your animals, it means with your fish. You don't have the right to create new beings. Do you get that? You don't. When man starts trying to play God is when all the trouble starts. You don't have the right to do that. He created everything here, and he specifically said, kind after kind. There is no other way to interpret that than staying within your own racial group. Period. When you start violating that, all kinds of hell breaks loose. So, again, simple rules. We can't even follow the 10. Just 10, and we can't follow them. Just can't do it. Honor your father and mother. That's a Hebrew idiomatic expression meaning honor Abraham and Sarah. It doesn't necessarily mean your mother and father on earth. You should honor them if they're honorable people. All through Scripture tells us not to put our mothers and fathers above this message and our Messiah. So why would he have a commandment that says honor your mother and father if he meant your earthly mother and father? That doesn't even make sense. I can't take credit for coming up with this. I read another teacher's message on the subject, and it made perfect sense. It was always referring to Abraham and Sarah. They were known as our great mother and father of our people. They showed tremendous righteousness and faith in our Father. Therefore, they are worthy of our respect. We have a whole lot of parents walking around that don't fit the bill when it comes to that. So why would it tell us to honor mom and dad just simply because they had us? What if they beat us? What if they're drunks and alcoholics? What if they're Satanists? I mean, you're going to honor that? Of course not. It's talking about Abraham and Sarah. They set the example just like Christ himself did when he walked this earth. He said, I came as an example. I didn't really pick out any particular verses for today because we're going to get into the general topic of mediocrity in our race. We're also going to talk about the storm that's almost upon us. I will open up the phone lines here at just down the road a piece, so just bear with me till we get through this piece, and then we can open up for a nice discussion. Psalm 149, verse 4, for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. Why would it say his people? Why wouldn't it just say in people if he didn't have a peculiar people? It's always in front of your face. You just refuse to see it because you're too worried about people calling you names. You want to go along to get along. So for Yahweh takes pleasure in his people, he crowns the humble. The humble. How many of our people are humble today? Most of our people don't even know what humility is. They're so full of themselves. So he crowns the humble with salvation. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. This is the end of the matter. All has been heard. We've heard it all by this time, haven't we? Fear or reverence Yahweh God and keep his commandments. Wait a minute. You mean the ones nailed to the cross? That's what these modern day churches will tell you, right? Oh, we nailed those to the cross. In other words, so we can just do whatever we damn well please. The problem with that is that's not what it meant, and that's not reality. So if you want to live in a false world because of that prostitute behind the pulpit feeding you full of lies, well, that's your choice. However, that's not what it said. Yahweh, all through the scripture, both Old and New Testament, says to keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of Adam man. Adam was put here to what? Tend the garden. What does tending the garden mean in the original language? It means to keep it, to protect it, to nurture it, to preserve it. That is keeping the garden. What's the garden? This earth. Under the dome, in the earth. You don't have to fear anything coming from without into this area without Yahweh's permission. It's not going to happen, folks. It hasn't happened up till now, and it's not going to happen in the future. Disobedience to tyrants is obedience to Yahweh God. I think our people are finally starting to understand that. Finally, here we have John Adams that told us that without the pen of the author of Common Sense, now Common Sense was the writings of Thomas Paine, right? Common Sense was basically in the 1700s and the latter part of the 1600s were the patriots in the colonies trying to awaken the population, much like Q is trying to do through the boards. And then all the alternative media folks and YouTubers and truthers take the Q posts and elaborate on it, do the digging, do the research, put the pieces of the puzzle together. It's exactly like the founding fathers did when they produced the Liberty letters and the documents they used to tack on to the Liberty trees in the towns. And the author of Common Sense. So this is saying, without the pen, meaning the author of Common Sense, the sword of Washington, General George Washington, would have been raised in vain. You see, that's the problem with our people. A lot of them want to go run out and raise the sword right now. Okay? But our founding fathers told us that George Washington would not have succeeded, would not have won in the military end of it, had not it been preceded by the work of the preachers called the Black Robed Regiment in the churches and the authors of things like Common Sense and the Liberty postings on the Liberty trees to heighten the awareness of the sheep, because the sheep have been sound asleep in the United States and virtually every white nation. We've been following the dollars. We've been following the delicacies of Babylon, as it says in the book of Revelation. We are drunk. The book of Revelation, written by John, we are drunk on the delicacies of the whore of Babylon. How do our people act today? Watch them in the malls. Watch them on the streets. Watch them in their cars and going down the road. They act just like drunkards. You can't get their attention. They can't think. They're possessed with more alcohol, more goodies, more material. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Got to have more. Do you have what you need? I don't care. I want more. I've got a 2,000 square foot house. I want a 3,000 square foot house. Well, you don't need it. It doesn't matter. I want more. I got a nice car. No, I don't care. I want a BMW. If I have a BMW, I want a Mercedes. If I got a Mercedes, I want a Bentley. Do you need a Bentley to go from point A to point? No, a Chevy would do it. A Ford would do it, but no. We want more. So we're acting just like our adversary, the Jew. He always has to have more. Look at the Jews today. They own all of the major international banks, and yet they're begging for American taxpayer money to support that bastard nation called Itzalai. That dirtball litter box full of traitors, assassins, and murderers, and we're giving them $30,000 per man, woman, and demon child. You want to talk about hypocrisy? You want to talk about irony? They've got all of the world's international banks, the richest people walking the earth, like Soros, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Bezos, and all the rest of these hacks, Zuckerberg, all Jews, all dual citizenship traitors, all liars, all deceivers, trillions of dollars, but you and I are the ones that need to support the litter box with their countrymen, their fellow Talmud thumpers. We're supposed to support them to the tune of $30,000 per man, woman, and child. Most of my family lives on less than $30,000. I live on a lot less than $30,000 a year. Okay? And I spent my life in my country building the infrastructure, building up the power industry, serving in the U.S. military, and I have way, way less than $30,000. And the money I get was taken out of my paycheck. So nobody's given me a damn thing. That's my money for 40 plus years, taken against my will out of my paycheck into a bankrupt Ponzi scheme called Social Security. And yet you and I have to pay those bastards $30,000 a year for every man, woman, and child. So if it's a married couple with a baby, they're getting $90,000 a year just from you, American taxpayer. Isn't that special? And why is that? Because charlatans and quacks like John Hagee and Joel Osteen and all the rest of those hacks are telling you they're God's chosen people, and if we bless them, somehow Yahweh's going to pour out money on us. How's that working out for you, Whitey? How's that working out for you out there in church world? We've been pouring all this money all over those Israeli traitors and liars and thieves for decade upon decade. And the way I see it, I don't see a blessing being poured out on white America. I see us flooded with all kinds of non-whites. I see our business and industrial areas flooded with non-whites and women. Where are the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant men represented in Washington, D.C. or at the state capitol? Where the hell are they? I don't see them in the business world. I don't see them in the retail outlets. I don't see them in government. Where are they? We founded this nation. Where the hell are we? Oh, that's right. Leviticus and Deuteronomy told us never to let the racial alien have political power in your lands, and we violated it. Oh, didn't we just read here where he says, and keep, which means obey, my commandments, Ecclesiastes 12. Yeah, that's right. You can go to Deuteronomy 28 and read about the blessings and the cursings and what happens when you go against his law. Every one of those curses, by the way, is representative of the white nations today. Just go down through there, Deuteronomy 28. Go read the curses that come upon a nation that violates his law. When you turn your back on the Father, and you can take a look at virtually any white nation and see them in the same exact spot. Your people have become the tail while the creatures that walk amongst you become the head. Again, for instance, the Supreme Court, all Catholics, which are white Jews and outright Jews. So the whole Supreme Court is Jewish. And you wonder why it doesn't support the Constitution, doesn't support any of the stuff that goes wrong in this country? You're expecting a bunch of aliens by race, by culture, by language, by history? You expect these people to uphold our Christian values in our land? Are you stupid? That's like asking the wolf or the fox to guard the hen house. Sure, simpleton, I'll keep an eye on those chickens for you. Go back to sleep. Yeah, I'll make sure all those chickens are okay out there in that hen house. Yeah, go ahead. And you get up and you go, hey, man, what happened to my hens? Something ate them. And you wonder what happened. You put a Jew in charge of the Federal Reserve. Okay, you can't get a better example of a fox watching the hen house than that. Every chairman of the Fed has been a damn Jew. And you don't understand why the economy is the way it is. And don't go by the fake numbers out there, because the economy is not doing well. All right? You keep violating Father's law, and you wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Well, go look in a mirror. You want to see the number one culprit for what's wrong? Just go look in a mirror. You and me, folks. You and me. I got to give two more quick ones here. Thomas Jefferson said, when injustice becomes law, resistance becomes duty. If there are any men still out there, are you paying attention? Sometimes I got to wonder. I'm not so sure we have real men left, to be honest with you. I don't know. I am pleased and honored that in my circle of associates, I think I have some of the finest people that walk this earth. I'm blessed in that area, because I see all these other people complaining about what they deal with on a daily basis, and I think, wow, have I been blessed. I know men and women who truly live this word. I know men and women who are stellar in character and in the attributes Father expects his children to have. Most people don't see it. They walk in the refuge out here day in and day out. It's no wonder that many of them are having anxiety attacks and are stressed out beyond belief. Thomas Paine, a contemporary, said that the strength and power of despotism consists wholly in the fear of resistance, the very thing that's required to take down injustice, resistance. It's the fear of resisting that gives strength and power to the despot. Yep. And that's what we have in this country. And right now we have a storm coming in two ways. We have the so-called storm going to hit the Carolinas. I don't know if that's for real or not. They've told us twice down here in the last few years to be prepared to evacuate. The storm of the century of biblical proportions was going to hit South Florida. It didn't even reached the category of a tropical storm. It wasn't even a good thunderstorm, really. Nothing anywhere close to what the fake news was putting out there for us, and they were wanting the whole area to evacuate and everything else. Now, was there a storm? Yeah. Did we get a lot of rain? Yeah. Did we get some wind? Yeah, but that's not a hurricane. And it's sure as hell not a Category 5 hurricane. So what are they doing? What kind of game are they playing when they play up every one of these storms as if it's the storm to end all storms? What are they doing? Are they trying to get you used to leaving your home as soon as you hear an announcement, even if there's no storm there? Maybe one of these days there won't even be a storm, and they're just going to put something on a screen, on a green screen, on the news, and you're going to run from the area and travel north, and you've just left your home, all the things that you've accumulated, and you're the most vulnerable when you're on the highway. You don't have your armory, you don't have your food supplies, you don't have your friends and neighbors, you're all alone on the highway. What a better time to start trying to take advantage of people. I'm just throwing it out there. This could be a real storm. I doubt it's as strong as they're telling you. They're already talking about it stalling, which means geoengineering. All right? I'm just saying, be careful, folks, because we're dealing with some of the most scandalous creatures to ever walk the earth these days. Their lips are moving, almost always lying to us about everything. So we got a storm in more ways than one getting ready to hit this country. And I'm talking about a geopolitical storm and potentially some sort of a weather storm getting ready to hit the Carolinas. They're both coming at about the same time. Now, it was interesting that the Q posts and the Anons who interpret them put some things together that I thought was brilliant. I would never have figured it out. But because of the timestamps on the different tweets and the different postings, which they told us way back in the beginning that those timestamps would be important, well, they figured out that right now we're in a countdown. We're in a countdown, and we're 8 days out, which would put us right around the 20th. Isn't that odd? What happens on the 20th of this month? It's called the emergency broadcast system will be tested. Both versions, which is the wireless and the other one. Okay? So both forms have never been tested. The EAS system. Thank you, Jimmy. I can't remember what the emergency announcement system or something like that, EAS. But the EAS and the wireless system are going to be tested for the first time ever on the same day. Yeah, emergency alert system. And it happens to be 8 days out. It happens to be about the time all this weather is supposed to be there. It'll also be about the same time that the FISA documents will be declassified and unredacted. It's also about the time that announcements will be made of some of the biggest culprits and traitors this country's ever known. All this is going to happen between now and the 20th. And on the 17th of this month, it's Constitution Day. So the 17th could have some events come forth. And most certainly by the 20th, we could have some really, really significant things happening. For those of us as our believers, we're looking forward to good things happening. We're looking forward to the book of Revelations when it says the beast goes down. How does the beast go down? We've been saying it for 20 years. It's an economic collapse. We said this 20 years ago, even before this radio station started. We were telling people in personal appearances at events. All right? And so I'm not trying to blow my own horn here, but I'm just saying we talked about this over 20 years ago, that the creature spoken of in the book of Revelation, the beast, and the fact that it goes down, this system, quote, earthly system, will go down the way it's described in the book of Revelation, is an economic collapse. Who are doing the weeping and wailing during this economic collapse? The merchants, who are what? International Jewish bankers and their gigantic corporations that they're all in bed with. Merchants are all known as merchants, bankers and merchants, and the heads of governments who are also in bed with the whore and the beast. Weeping and wailing. Doesn't say you and I are going to be weeping and wailing. I'm not going to weep and wail while they go down. I'm going to be cheering. They need to go down. So, we got a lot of things coming. I sort of put the bumpy ride coming and FISA gate and the storm up in front of the talk about the mediocrity because it's very important. very important that we understand that for those of us that have been monitoring these posts and the different boards, there are definite indications that very significant things are going to happen over the next 8 days. This is a good time to be in your prayer mode, I would say, folks. You prayer warriors out there should be Psalm 91 for you men, soldier psalm. You ladies can pray it too. It doesn't hurt a thing. Psalm 91 is a soldier's psalm. You might want to do a soldier's ransom, even though the Feast of Tabernacles isn't quite here yet. Also, we have the Day of Atonement coming up. It was suggested to me by Richard Ford. I got a hold of him, so he's still with us. So praise Yahweh for that. He just has left internet and email. He's not doing any of that anymore. So we chatted on the phone, and it was his suggestion on the 25th of this month, which according to his calendar is the Day of Atonement, that the men of Israel come together to worship our Father, spend one day away from all the routine garbage, submitting ourselves to our Father, be in communication with our Father, and crying out to our Father. We are in desperate need of some outside help. We need to bring this cabal down, these pedophiles and traffickers and carnivores of children, Satanists. I mean, and here's the other thing, too. This snuff film that Hillary is tied to has been seen by some folks, and they said it's not easy to watch. It's that bad. And these are significant people. These just aren't Johnny-come-latelys. These are congressmen. These are intel people. This thing is sickening. And it's just an example. There's more to come. It's going to turn your stomach. So be ready for that. It's going to turn your stomach when the truth comes out, what these people have been up to. And so we should be in prayer. Give some consideration to the Day of Atonement that the men of Israel, everybody that we know, let's join together as the men of Israel and dedicate ourselves on that day to study and to prayer and worship of our Father and communicating with our Father and maybe even communicating with each other. Just the day to turn our backs on the beast and the beast system and focus on each other and focus on our Father and the seriousness of the times that we're in. So keep that in mind. Keep it in prayer. We'll talk more about that as we go forward. Mediocrity in our race, I was thinking about that today in the sense that I had many discussions with guys over the past couple days talking about the issues in industry, in medicine, you name it, our whole society. And I thought about it. You can boil it down to the fact that our race, the white Israelites, have accepted mediocrity. Now, mediocrity means lowering of your standards, subpar. It means you're mediocre. Now, when I was a boy, if somebody said that you were mediocre, that was almost fighting words. Because white men don't like being mediocre. Not real men. Now, maybe cucks do. Maybe soy boys do. Maybe little effeminate snowflakes do. But real men don't accept mediocrity. Real men work to be the best. May not get there, at least not in everybody's eyes, but we work for that. Not to be counted as the mediocre, not to be counted as the subpar group. Real men work to be the best at whatever they're doing. And I would suggest to the men out there, if you're not working to be the best, shame on you. You are a child of the living God, Yahweh, who created this world and gave us these magnificent machines called bodies and a magnificent organ called a brain that can decipher and has intuitiveness and has the ability to invent and to solve problems and to fix things. That's what Adam does. And Jimmy can attest to this when we open up the phone, the mics here, and I see, I thought I saw Jay on here. I hope he comes back. But if you're not using the gifts that Father gave you to the best of your ability, then again, I consider that sin in my book. That's violation of Yahweh's law, because everything I read in Scripture says that we are to work to show ourselves approved, which means that what? We're great husbands, great lovers, great providers, great teachers, great expounders of the Scriptures, great builders, great maintenance men, great engineers, great doctors, because we don't believe in second best. As my father told me many, many times growing up, if it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. And if it's worth doing right, you take whatever time it takes to get it done right. You don't cut corners. You don't adulterate, which is what? Pollute what you're doing to speed it up. You don't buy the answers to a test. You study so that you can take it on your own. When I was a boy, it was a great shame to be caught cheating. Now it's almost an art form. In fact, I knew an electrical engineer for the power company in New Jersey who admitted to me that he bought the tests all the way through his time at Drexel University. Now, I attended Drexel University for a year, and it was considered one of the best engineering schools in America. And here's a guy who worked his whole career for the power company in the transmission department who admitted to me that while he was in college, he paid for the answers to the tests. What's that tell you about his abilities when he got to the field? Probably not too good. However, since we accept mediocrity today, he probably did okay if he just kept his nose clean, showed up every day, and kissed the ass of his boss, who was probably also mediocre, because he also probably cheated his way through college. You see what I'm saying? I don't mean to put down the folks that actually did it right, like our good friend Jimmy up in Tampa. Okay? I'm talking about the fact that we accept second best. We accept mediocre way too often. I was told about a lady had her child out today, and the child had a trophy or some award given to her, and compliments were given to the child for winning, and the mother says, oh no, she didn't win. That's a participation trophy. Praise Yahweh, I grew up when I did. You didn't get a trophy unless you were the winners. And I'm talking about winners of the whole kit and caboodle. Not fifth place, fourth place, third. No, no, no. One trophy to the ones that were standing after it all went through. For instance, my senior year in high school, we were undefeated. Didn't lose one football game that whole year. So we were the conference champions, and yes, we got a little trophy for that. Not very big, only stands about 7 or 8 inches tall. But by God, we earned it. We put the time in. The coach worked us. We did the drills. We had triple sessions during the summer before school started, triple sessions like pros do. We practiced every day after school. Our games were on Saturday, so 6 days out of 7, we were playing football. And for one of the first times in the history of our school, the seniors did not bash the sophomores and juniors in our school on the football team. That was their tradition. When I was a sophomore and a junior, the seniors loved to call you names, make fun of you when you made a mistake, whatever. But our senior class did not do that. And it built camaraderie amongst the team. And I still say that's a large reason why our team went undefeated that year. Because some of them games were close. Some of those games, it was a fight to the final bell as to who was going to win that game. Very close. And it took an effort by every person on the bench to win those games. So you see what I'm saying? You don't accept mediocrity, folks. You don't accept mediocrity from your public servants. The good book tells us that our public servants are held to a higher standard. So if there's anybody that you can't accept mediocrity from, it's your public servants, those in government, those in your police, those in your military. They're held to a higher standard. You sure as hell don't accept mediocrity in people that are carrying guns and flying planes and dropping bombs or making decisions on the governance of your great nation. Nothing the founding fathers left us or our ancestors way back into biblical times, nothing that they wrote said anything about accepting mediocrity, accepting those who are less than stellar individuals. We've violated every rule the book has, every rule the founding father has. We violated it all. We've turned our back on every single precept that those wise men taught us. And we wonder why the world is pure hell. So what's the solution? The solution is to turn that around. And you start with the person in the mirror. You don't accept mediocrity. Never accept mediocrity. You're better than that. And if it means you're going to fail a few times achieving your greatness, well, that's okay, as long as you're trying. There's lots of examples in Scripture and in life where, okay, just like we did on our football team, if there was a young guy that sophomore was trying to hit the dummy bag and I saw he didn't have good technique, I just walked up to him and I said, well, lad, I'll tell you what, yeah, you can keep doing it that way, but I can show you a better way. Almost every single time, the young guy would get a smile on his face. Sure, Dan, show me. And I would show him, and he would correct his form, and he did a better job. And we usually became very good friends. And every now and then, a sophomore would come up to me and say, Dan, I was watching that last play, and I think I got a better way to do that for you. And by God, he usually did. You see, we don't know everything. We learn things line upon line, precept upon precept, working these things out as a big family. That's how it's done. Why are we turning our back on that? Why are we allowing them to separate us and tell us that we should be ashamed of our race? Never be ashamed of who you are. You're the race that Yahweh put upon this earth. You're the race that the whole Bible was written about. And if other people don't like that, that's their problem, not yours and mine. It's time that we held our heads up high and we start working together. Let's build things. Let's walk away from the beast and the beast system. Stop supporting it. The beast system can't run without us. I've been out there. I watched it when the Air Force tried to do it, especially in my career field, which was 99.9% white guys. Best. We were the best. I was privileged to work with those guys. No, we weren't perfect. And we had a few misfits, but we usually weeded them out. The point of it is, I saw what happened when you play the games that the progressives call it Talmud thumpers, get you to go along with their weakening diversity, multicultural crap. I saw what it did to the morale and the quality of work in the United States Air Force, in the electronic countermeasures for the 96th Bomb Wing. That's where I worked. I saw the same thing happen in the power industry. When it started out, it was mostly veterans from the military were the guys that came into the power plants. There were a few civilians that came into it, but by and far and large, it was former military. So we carried that same esprit de corps. We carried that same attitude, work ethic, and striving to be the best. Until they decided they were going to follow suit with our quacks and charlatans within the military and the Pentagon that bought into the Talmud Thumper garbage. And then I saw what it did there, too. So that now I'm glad to be out of both of them. Yahweh gave me the perfect timing to witness the destruction of those two fine institutions or industries, the U.S. military and the power industry, and see what happens when you violate God's law. I lived it. Stressful. It is stressful as hell having to work in a situation where you're taking orders from somebody who shouldn't even be tying your shoes. You have 10 times more experience, on-the-job experience, than this person. All they've got is a degree, again, probably cheated their way for it, and they're put in a position of power because their last name is Ulstein or Greenberg, and they're telling you what to do. Or some little filly comes in that doesn't know her ass from a hole in the ground, and she's telling you how to do your job. Tell me that isn't stressful. So, not a whole lot more to report on the ARC project at this time. We've got a couple things we're waiting to see come through, and just keep that in your prayers. A lot of folks are looking for that to happen, me included. I wish I had more to tell you about that, but we don't at the moment, so we're still praying, Father, open up a door for us, and bring some resources and or talent or whatever. I mean, just something to bring us together on a piece of ground and put all this to work so we can show people it can be done. If you just obey his law, it can't help but succeed, folks. It really can't. So anyway, Jimmy, I've unmuted you, buddy. You got any thing you'd like to add to what we're talking about here so far?
Well, let me crawl out of my closet because I'm in here with my blankie and my Play-Doh and, you know, in my safe spot. Hey, Dan, you know, each and every call that I share with you, not only on air but off air, you and I are so much alike. And in my collegiate days, we were a team. We helped each other out in labs. We would help those out in labs in electrical and in computer science. We were building circuits, and we were helping each other out, even in my high school basketball days. But in college, we set a goal because we had recruiters like from Texas Instruments, IBM, and that was before the .com or any of these Fruit Loop companies out in California. But we wanted our class to be the most solid and the most sought after. And you know what? Let's say you and I were classmates. You might get the job I wanted, but there were enough positions for our true degrees back then that you might land with IBM, and I might land with Texas Instruments. And at the end of the day, we were educated. And we had one idiot that we really tried to keep under our wing, but we didn't invite him into the treehouse very often. And he got expelled because guess what? He paid to have his I forget it was an exam or maybe one of his dissertation papers. Anyway, they expelled his ass. They didn't say anything. And, you know, it's funny you bring that up because back in that day, Dan, we were all too proud to even think about cheating because, you know what, we can do it the right way. And you all have heard me bring up my girl Kim, and she told me back in 2009 she was coaching the high school soccer team, and at the end of she worked her team and yada 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 yada, And all of a sudden, at the end of it, everybody got a trophy. Well, that's where I was introduced to this participation bullshit. Okay? So I'm just touching on that because you hit a chord. In my day, even in high school, we worked as a team. The word team, even in my current job with my law firm and my software business, we're a team. We're a damn team.
No.
And people don't. And, you know, there's a couple of radio shows that I do mirror, and they even have commercials. You know, you can be an airline mechanic in 6 months, and only in 6 months you can sit back and watch the steel birds you repaired soar into the air. Are you kidding me? 6 months? Unless you're Richard Petty's fucking, or I'm sorry, frickin' pit crew chief, hey, who in the world is going to learn how to be an airline engine mechanic in 6 months, Dan? Isn't that a little, especially with the intellectual stock that we have coming up behind us? We have diluted everything. You said it. We've cut corners. I don't so much do it anymore, but someone might ship me a Dell to be repaired, or they might want to purchase a Dell server system. That thing's built like a frickin' rocket ship before it leaves here. If there is any glitch in the build-out process, I start over. That thing goes out of here with 100% confidence.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence. It's not, oh, well, it'll be okay for a couple months. And, you know, you see what I mean? We have lost our sense of pride in workmanship, our sense of being as men. And I'm not saying you and I have. And I am like you, and I appreciate the kind words. I earned my degrees, and I paid for them. And I am also very, very, very fortunate, not only in my professional life, but in my broadcaster, whatever life, which is how you and I met, and Cody and Jay and Ron and Craig, and I hope I didn't forget anybody. I'm surrounded by good men, which tells me, and I might call you all freaked out. It's like, Dan, I'm ready to go. I've had it with waiting, and it's not that I'm anxious, and it's not that I'm looking to go kick anybody's ass, but the news I read every day, and if I may bring up your friend, if you want to elaborate a little bit on it, right here in Daytona Beach, went out to a rally that they've been going to for, what, 12 years?
12 years,
all of a sudden, yeah.
Yeah,
all of a sudden the little city kitty Daytona Beach police, you know, they want to puff up and look for permits and, what is it, they confiscated their signs and, you know, and all due respect, because I have a lot of friends in law enforcement, so don't get me wrong, guys. I'll stand with you till I die, if need be. But these fat-ass punk donut-eating pricks, excuse me, ladies, where in the hell do these men get off, Dan? They're not men. They're certainly not Americans. And I did notice in the thread, if I'll touch on this very briefly, where the gentleman that was there did the right thing and said, no, it wasn't the sheriff. The sheriff stands with us. It was the city police. And I watched all that unfold today in our email threads, and, you know, because I called, I'll be frank, I talked to you last night. I said, Dan, I need to be filled in because I'm going to go attack it verbally through the their public service or their public, it's called the PIO, the public information officer. I was going to call him or her on air and ask them what the hell they think they're talking about. I was going to be nice at first, but I bet you I would have met with a ration of, well, you know, we are the Gestapo, and I don't even, you know, I can't talk about that. Well, why can't you talk about that? You see, and this is the kind of crap, Dan, that I am on the edge of my chair, and I'm ready to go. And I pray to God, and real quick, too, and I'll yield, and you might bring me back in later. But your topic of timing, I call it a perfect delta alignment, is very correct. The 20th, with these tests, the storms that are supposedly marching across the Atlantic, the hype of, now I don't doubt that there is some kind of weather coming into the Carolinas, but there are people out there, oh, it's a Category 5. Well, I go on to some, you know, NASA sites and this, that, and the other, and I look at the even the National Weather Service, which I don't trust any of them, but, you know, it's going to come in probably as a Cat 3, and now the trusted best guess I have, it might go to a Category 2, which is still something to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what gets me, Dan, as an engineer. This thing's going to come in as predicted, and then it's going to stall and sit there. And then now they're saying it might turn south. So the state of Georgia today declared a national state of emergency, which what does that trigger? Federal funds.
Funds. Yeah, okay. It's all about the money.
Exactly. Exactly. So, the liberals are blaming Trump for this storm. Can you actually believe that these people? I'm not kidding you.
I know.
Anyway, I'll yield, but I always enjoy your opening, and I make notes, and I'm getting to the point where I don't have much more comment because everything you say, you're spot on. And the thing that really triggered me was when even my late high school days and collegiate days, our class, we were a team, and we would wrap our wings around the people that didn't quite get it. And they wanted to succeed so bad. And once you opened their eyes, Dan, just like the gentleman that you said that you showed how to hit the football attack or something.
The sled.
Once you give them, yeah, the sled. Thank you. Once you taught that gentleman, you not only gave him the confidence to know that he could do it. Now he's going to be a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about confidence, and we should build. In the Bible, I don't remember the term, but I use it in a lot of lectures I used to do with Tom, and I kind of turned it into men sharpen men, or steel sharpens steel.
Yeah.
And that's what we need to bring back, Dan. We need to bring back the unity. I was airing Rod Eccles out of New Hampshire this morning, and he made a good point. Remember the old show, Wide World of Sports?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess CBS still has the same. Well, they last year were not allowed to say the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Well, they have taken that out. There's no, it's all even. Because the thrill of victory, you and I both tasted, and I know for a fact you and I both tasted the agony of defeat. And any entrepreneur or anyone that's successful in business that says they've never failed is full of shit.
Right.
Yeah. Anyway,
yep.
I'm here, and thanks for bringing me in, and I can mute my phone here. Be nice if our buddy Jay or Ron or somebody came in, because, guys, we have got a great group here. I call it our treehouse. And I just pray every day that we can keep it together and none of us get so busy that we forget about what we've built here in the last few months. Because to me, Dan, it is golden, and I am honored to be a part of this group and this team.
Amen, brother. Amen. Well, I don't believe anything is a coincidence. I don't believe in accidents. The scripture talks about that in the life of his children, his believers, everything has a purpose, everything has a reason. So all of us guys coming together, that, and some of the people I've known for years and years now, but they're all unique, all come with different talents, all different points of view. But when you put it all together, and I get to sit in the nexus here in the middle of it, I call it the command center, but it's really just my word for the nexus point with all this information and dialogue going on. It shows me that we have a phenomenal working group, what we used to call in the business a working group. And I'm not sure why he brought it together, other than we do have a purpose. At some point, the reason we're together will be made known to us, and we'll be able to go forward. But right at the moment, it's frustrating because we're sitting here, we're gnawing at the bit, waiting for that gate to open up and get into the horse race. But at the moment, it's a time for patience. It's a time for watching and observing, because just like the thing talked about, that George Washington's sword would have been raised in vain if it were not for the truth seekers and the truth tellers. Back in that day, of course, it was a quill pen to a piece of parchment. Today, it's emails and tweets and Facebook and BitChute and Real.Video and BankVersusUTV.com up in Tampa. And, you know, it's all the people who love this land, love truth, love our Heavenly Father, love truth and justice, and the enemy keeps trying to paint it as xenophobes, race baiting us, trying to say that we hate people because we simply want to promote our own race. I mean, if you look up in a dictionary prior to 1980, the term racist simply meant somebody who believes in and promotes his own race. Well, there's nothing wrong with being a racist because it's your family. And we're supposed to support our family. That's a natural thing. It's the way we're made from the time we're designed as DNA in our mom's womb. It's a instinct. It's not even learned. It's an instinct that you want your kind to survive. The only problem is everybody but the white race, they promote everybody but the white race when they talk about their own kind. But if a white person says anything pro-white, oh my gosh, back them up, send them off to the loony bin. Well, that's of course because we're under Jewish domination. The Jews hate the white race. And again, I'm going to say it until I'm blue in the face. Stop calling Jews white. Stop assigning guilt for what Jews do to the white race. Jews are not white. Never were, aren't now, and never will be. Because it takes a white man and a white woman to have a white child, and that ain't a Jew. They are aliens, just like the Apostle John said, just like other writers of the Old Testament, just like Pontius Pilate wrote in his letters to Caesar. They are aliens to us. That's what's killing us. The white race is listening to these damn preachers, and they're God's chosen people. Yeah, they dress funny, yeah. They talk funny, they smell funny, they kill, they murder, they assassinate, they lie, they cheat, they steal, but they're still God's chosen people. Really?
They're the money changers. They're the money changers. And real quick question.
Yeah.
You know, Dan, I spoke about my especially collegiate days. We were a family. And anyone that I know that went the military route, they said the same thing, and I'll just use the term even platoon. And even the show Gomer Pyle, those guys were their platoon. And I'm told that if one guy screwed up or was caught cheating or whatever, the rest of the platoon would pay for his crime. And was that true?
Depended on the drill instructor or the training instructor. A lot of times, yeah, we all had to pay for the screw-ups of other people. You know why, though, Jimmy? Because the TI would know that later on in the barracks that night that there would be a blanket party for that offender
exactly.
by the rest of us.
Exactly. That's right.
Yeah.
But therein lies, you know what? We're the team, and I'll just pick a number out of the air. We're 26 men in this platoon, to pick a term out of the air. Okay, I might be good at this, you might be good at that, but together, men sharpen men. You're going to learn from me, I'm going to learn from you. I'm going to be man enough to learn from you, and you need to be man enough to learn from me. But at the end of the exercise, when we graduate, we are men. We are unstoppable men out of the 5th Infantry on the 5th Wing of whatever, whatever. And I'm not making fun. I just don't know what the proper terms are.
Right.
But that seems to be gone. And that's another thing I'm fighting for. If I had kids, I probably would be in jail by now for fighting with teachers. But Dan, see, those are the things that the ARC City, you know, it's not like I'm giving up on society, but society is so sick that I want to get with like-minded men, which I'm blessed to be in this group, and just create our own environment. And see, therein lies the big catch-22 from my seat here. You know me. I mean, I'm a tough guy. I'm a little guy, but I'm a tough guy. But I can't stand to see anyone suffer. That's my weakness that comes from my mom's Swedish blood. But there has to come a time, and you and I, you've got a hell of a lot more time in broadcasting than I do, but I've spent the last better part from almost 10 years trying to wake people up, trying to deliver a message. I'm not selling vitamins. I don't have a donate button. I don't have a Patreon. I don't have a super chat. None of that bullshit. But there's going to come a time here very soon, when we've got to hunker in and take care of ourselves. And that's the one thing that I am really mentally conditioning myself for, because I know it's imminent, Dan. And I'll tell you what, frankly, and don't call me Shirley, or frankly, but you're right, on this Delta that's coming in, I see it clear as day in roughly 7 to 8 days. There are a lot of factors coming together. And I aired Donald Trump did a in White House award ceremony for the Congressional Medal of Honor. And there were 72 men still alive that were attending that had received said medal honor. And I think there were 7 or 8 or 9 that were going to be bestowed that honor today. But I found it very telling that the photo opportunities, I think we were given a glimpse of the tribunal staff that is forthcoming, because it is forthcoming. And I'll tell you what, Dan, when these things start, I'm either going to fly you up here or I'm going to come down there and impose on you for a couple of days and pop a couple of beers, because that's when the games are going to begin, and we're going to see perp walks. We're going to see it. And frankly, as much as I don't like to see anybody hurt, oh, and John Kerry's back out. Did you see his lying ass was back out in public again today, all over the news, commenting on how Trump is making huge mistakes and it's undoing everything he did in his good time of good works. Well, John, you know what? All your little side deals that get you the billions of dollars slid under the vanity panel in the men's room, that's what's unwinding here.
Oh, yeah.
Go ahead. You get
What's interesting is the people that have been naysaying Q, that it's a psyop, it's interesting that it was over, I believe it was over a week ago, Q put out a notice that said, watch, it's going to get worse. And he had a whole list of news feeds from like New York Times and all the rest, Washington Post, all the liberal rags owned by Jews, almost every one of them, and the fact that they were all saying almost the exact same thing, so that you know there's always collusion with these news agencies.
Project Mockingbird, and real
so,
quick,
exactly.
To interject,
and so the attack,
and,
the attack
well, real
was
quick,
against
I'll
Trump.
Shut up. It is, but you know what? I saw this guy from the New York Times on CNN. I don't watch CNN, but every once in a while, if I need a filler, I'll bounce over. And here's what he was saying to give credibility to the newspaper. He was reminding us of all the Pulitzer Prizes that the New York Times had won. And I'm sitting here, and I talk to my screens, guys. I do. I yell at them. And I sat here and I said, so effing what? A Pulitzer Prize? Hell, they gave Obama the Nobel Peace Prize. For what? It's meaningless. I could go to Office Depot and get a blue ribbon and some kind of placket paper and make myself Man of the Year if I want to. Anyway.
But that's because we've had decades of white people being impressed with letters after the name and Jewish media holding people up as winners of some prize. The problem, again, is that the churches have put the sheep asleep as to the fact that these are not our people. Jews are not our people. Nobel was a Jew. Pulitzer was a Jew.
Yep.
Rhodes, for Rhodes Scholar, Rhodes was a Jew. So every one of these, quote, awards have a beginning in Judaism and with Jewish money, and Jews decide who gets it, and they do it based on political precedent. And so why do they do it? Because we, the goyim, that's what they call us, stupid cattle, we, the cattle, fell into a rut because the news media propped him up and said, oh, he's a Nobel Prize winner, and he's won the award for best physicist and all this. But these are all jokes, and you're right. The greatest joke of all was when the orangutan got the Nobel Peace Prize. If that didn't open up your eyes to the fact that that's all a sham, nothing on this earth is going to wake you up.
If the Nobel Peace Prize is what I thought it was, Mr. President Trump should get two for what he did with Kim Jong-un in North Korea. That truly...
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
And he's not done yet. He's working and has been working in Syria to end that mess. He should get one for that. He's working with Iran. He should get one for that. He's going to shut down Afghanistan. They should get one for that. Whether you like him or not, under this administration, and it's not just Donald Trump. That's what people have to understand. He's the figurehead. It's a lot more than just Donald Trump. Trust me.
It's the team.
It's exactly right.
He is running our country as a business, which I fully agree with. And just like in our little law firm and investment group, I'm a pivotal cog, but by myself, I'm nobody. Tom is a pivotal cog. But we're all intrinsic gears in the machine, and we have respect for each other, and we challenge each other. We are not going to lose. And if we do fail, it's not because we said, oh, screw it. We gave it our best, and I mean our best, our best. I got up at 3:30 this morning, and I haven't, and I'm going to, I almost, you know, God was giving me a sign because we had major, major lightning here that I had to go to generator, and I'm thinking, man, I really could use an early night, but I'm not going to miss the call tonight. I'm not going to miss it, and I'm energized again. But you just tough through it, and if you believe in it, you believe in your product, you believe in your team, the chances of you failing are slim to none. Really, I'm here to tell you, and I've failed. My God, have we had some crash and burns. But have we had our successes where the balloon flew higher and farther than we thought, you bet your ass we have as well. Persistence, and do not give up on this great country, and do not give up on our Father. Our Father is with us more today than yesterday.
Amen.
Seriously.
We got Jay with us there. Welcome to the program.
Oh, great. Hey,
Jay.
Brother Jay.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you loud and clear.
Okay. I was just, I was able to listen a little bit in the beginning, and then I kind of had to do something, and I just came back on. I don't want to interrupt your guys' conversation, but I could definitely say that, a good team is important. I would have to agree with you, Jimmy. You know, we admire a lot of members of history, and, you know, we talk about the Third Reich and Adolf Hitler and all those guys and Mussolini. Well, you know, Adolf Hitler wouldn't have been who he was without Hermann Göring, Himmler, Heydrich, all of those guys. You know, they all You know, a great man is only as good as the good men around him, too.
Well, that's where we were saying iron sharpens iron, men sharpen men, and that's exactly right. We were just talking, the two major things, of course, was current events as far as Q saying that we're in a countdown right now, Jay, about approximately 8 days from now till something big is going to happen. And the 20th is the day that the emergency broadcast system, both branches of it, will be tested for the first time together on a single day. Also, we have Constitution Day coming up on the 17th. So we're kind of in a countdown. We're in a storm, both the physical storm and the geopolitical storm. And then we got into a discussion of the fact the white race has accepted mediocrity. You know, it's just
ridiculous. Well, Dan, don't forget that our president declared September National Preparedness Month. I mean,
that's right.
Is a huge, huge tick on the old indicator as well. Let's not forget that. Yeah,
that's right. So it certainly seems that we are at the precipice. We're watching the storm clouds come up over the horizon, and so now definitely is a time that we should be prepared mentally and physical for just about anything that could happen, because these are rats, these are Satanists, these are criminals of the highest order, and they're about ready to get hammered. And as we all know that grew up on a farm, when you have a rattlesnake cornered, that's when he's the most dangerous. And these people are cornered at this time, and so, you know, we should be alert and on our toes. So have you got anything that you can add to any of that, Jay?
Well, you know how I feel about Q. I don't need to repeat that. They're going to do it great. But I will say this, as far as suspicious behavior, did you hear about the shutdown of that solar observatory facility out in New Mexico?
I heard about it, yeah.
Yeah, they still aren't given reasons, and for the FBI to show up like that out of nowhere is definitely highly suspicious. And to refuse to give the sheriff answers anytime the feds do something like that, it's something embarrassing. It's something that is either, you know, they got to keep so secret because they're either embarrassed by it and they don't want the locals knowing, or it's something that poses a threat to the local population that somehow they're connected, that they're going to get blamed for. Now, I was looking at an aerial map of the area, and you know, with those, you know, the only thing that has is a radio telescope. And what bothered me is everybody's kicking the theories out there about, well, you know, they saw a solar storm coming or something like that. And it didn't make sense to me, because they can't be the only solar site. They can't be the only site in the continental United States, or the world for that matter, that could see the sun and monitor things like that. It had to have something to do with the exact location of that telescope. And
white sands.
Yeah. I wonder if there was some sort of spying going on by the Chinese or some other organization, and they figured out it was going on and they stepped in to catch it. I mean, that's the normie answer I could think of. I would always like it to be something a little more interesting than that, but it's the most plausible.
Well, we have learned that we have to question everything. So if nothing else has come out with all the stuff since Trump's been elected, it's definitely that the patriots, the former military, former law enforcement, hunters, fishermen, and just good old-fashioned patriots and militiamen, we've learned that you can't take the news media for face value. You can't take people that are celebrities or people with a bunch of letters after their name, or just because they won some kind of prize, as if they're telling you the truth. We know that's a lie, and now we're finding out that the churches are guilty of some of the most heinous things imaginable. So you can't even trust the so-called men of God that are out there.
Pickpockets in the pulpit. And
pickpockets
to Jay's point,
in the pulpit. Yep.
Yeah, that's my favorite thing, and I'm not so sure I coined it, but I use it. But back to Jay's point, I did a lot of things come across my radar, Dan and Jay and listeners, and I'm blessed with all these computers that I can still do my job, but I can go off on another one. And so I typed it in, Jay, and I went and looked, and there is a hole in the corona side of the sun, but it's not the first time. And see, you nailed it, Jay. Even if something catastrophic is going on in the solar system, let's say, for the FBI to come in, that's way out of character. And I talked to my retired guy today, and he said the same thing. He goes, Jim, they wouldn't mess with that unless it was something really serious. So let's say the sun's about to burn out. Let's just use that as a hypothetical. Then maybe the FBI or intelligence would come in and shut them down so that it didn't panic the people. I might begin to listen to that theory.
Well, if they were going to do that, though, then they would have to shut down all of them. They'd have to find a way to shut all of them down. So it's something that's site-specific. It's site-specific, whatever it is. It's something to do with that.
Well, that's back to White Sands, the Air Force Base there, because you're correct. Mm-hmm. There are more observatories on this planet that even I know about. Okay? There are tons of them. And, boy, if I had a chance to be a part of that project, I would also be honored. They've got some nice toys. But, Jay, you're correct. But what I noticed, and others, is White Sands is there. There's a lot of freaky shit going on at White Sands. And some of the theorists are saying that, you know, that the observatory was, you know, there were secret cameras in these dishes, and China was spying. You know, Jay and Dan, I mean, I do sleep at night, and if somebody did sneak into my facility and put a camera or a microphone up, yeah, they might get away with it. But, you know, and I'm only Jim. These are government installations with high-end, supposedly. Now, Dan, you and I are back to, are these people really techs or are they just fakes? But I'm going to go back to what Jay said because it struck a chord. And for the FBI, and you know they weren't alone. They probably had some high-end Secret Service and a lot of DOJ spooks. And when I say spooks, I love the spooks because I got family members that are spooks. And I tease them about the title. But for them to go in there and assume control or assume press blackout or shut the facility down, let's also circle back, Jay, to the, what was it, 7 or 8 major servers that controlled spy satellites that were, you know, they're saying that they had some glitch, bullshit. 7 or 8 computer rooms of those sizes to just fail at the same time?
You're talking about the CIA, 7 mainframe computers for the CIA.
Yes.
They all went down.
Dan, I would stake my life, and that's my wheelhouse. If nothing else I'm qualified to talk about, it's that. There is no way in hell. What are you running, 7 Dell computers that you bought off eBay? No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So, see, there's some pieces on the card table that are going to fit into this puzzle later, gentlemen. And with that, I yield. I research this stuff, guys. And I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm also not stupid. And White Sands is my offering as a clue, Jay.
Well, for my thing is I was looking at the way they – well, the facility is college-owned. It's not a government facility. It's owned by a college, and it's probably, you know, housed with freaking, you know, 5 or 6 ultra-nerd fucking guys that live there. It's probably like an asylum. They live there and freaking, you know, watch the sun and smoke marijuana. I mean, I don't think it's sophisticated.
Careful, Jay. Now you're phototyping me, but anyway, but you're right.
Depending on what type, but for that satellite, for what that or what that observatory, because that doesn't operate like a telescope, radio telescope, it all depends on what type of weapon they were testing at White Sands. I mean, who knows? I mean, if they were testing some sort of energy weapon or something, that satellite would give them somebody with control of it, and in that range would give them the ability to watch whatever they're doing or tech frequencies. I don't know. That's just kind of shooting out there in the dark on it.
No,
but
you're right. You're nailing it.
And but the only thing that I have to wonder about, though, is for the Chinese to go that far with it is a little unnecessary, because from 2000, God, probably, really this goes back into the 90s, almost all of our computer chip technology, they might be assembling those things in China and Taiwan and Korea and all
Singapore,
these other places.
Right.
But the programming, all of the programming, and that's when guys can build back doors into things, all of that, guys, is done in Israel under the Telpiad program and the Techion schools. All
right.
of that is done there.
All the bias so, chips. And, yes, sir.
And that's how them back doors are in there. And it's out there. They, you know, that's what Brandon O'Connor, kind of part of what, you know, got the whole Israeli state to come down on Brandon O'Connell so hard, is he, you know, exposed this big problem where all of our government computers are compromised. So, you know, it would have to be something. It would have to be something, if it was that they were using that telescope and that facility to observe weapon testing and gather intelligence on something at White Sands. It's something so secretive that I would assume the Israelis probably don't know about. That's not something they keep on regular server programs. That's something they keep in locked servers that never has access to the Internet, so nobody can access it unless they're there on
site.
Right,
they're isolated.
Because if the Chinese want anything, the Israelis just give it to them. The Israelis just give it to them. And I go into a long story about that. I've told Esther Dan about it before, but the Pentagon used to stand up to Israel. You know, right after 9/11, they stopped talking to Israel for like 2 years, from like 2003, I think, to 2005, somewhere in there, because the Israelis were caught selling missile guidance technology to China, and the Pentagon guys got pissed about it. And this was all, you know, back door. Everything looked hunky dory, and we were still sending the money. But what it was is, if any Israeli representative showed up to the Pentagon, nobody would talk to them. They could walk around the Pentagon, do whatever they want. They wouldn't make a big show of it, but nobody would talk to them. Nobody would say a word to them. And they actually forced the Israelis to write an apology letter. They wrote an apology letter. And if anyone wants to go, you know, I found this in Brandon O'Connell's original documents, but it's all authenticated. He didn't, like, create this. It's there. Well, and so the Pentagon, the Israelis apologized to the Pentagon for selling this technology, you know, acting real scolded. Well, oddly, 2 years later, right after that now, you know, they didn't know what they provoked. Because by that time, all of their computer programs, they bought them out in 2003, already had all these back doors in there from Israel. Well, they sold them programs, I think it was 2000, they got the letter, and they reestablished normal relations, everything seemed fine. Well, then all of a sudden, and you can go online and check this out, it was on CNN, what's that white-haired, queer, ex-CIA agent that works for them, skinny guy, wears glasses?
Anderson Cooper?
Anderson Cooper.
I would pay money to beat his ass. I'm sorry. Well, go ahead. Anderson Cooper, yeah.
You can go on YouTube right now. And what Anderson Cooper did is, he did this big story on it where basically something like 2,400 or more Pentagon employees, high-ranking generals, officials, big guys, were found to be downloading child pornography on their computers. Now, here's the thing. Anybody that's worked in any type of government organization, especially anything to do with law enforcement or military, knows that you don't log on to porn sites, you know, on your computers. And there's always some idiot that does it, and they, you know, four or five guys get caught. I have a real hard time believing that 2,400, you know, high-ranking officials at the Pentagon were caught downloading pornography. I don't think they did that. I think the Israeli guys, with their back doors, force that information onto their computers.
You know what, Jay?
Then they let somebody get caught.
You're right.
Now, almost no prosecution happens. And you can watch Anderson Cooper's little specials on YouTube. It's like 20 minutes. Type in pedophilia in the Pentagon, Anderson Cooper. It'll come right up for anyone to listen and want to check it out. And it just kind of went away. Well, you know, I know how this is. It's the, you know, the enemy is just the mafia. And that's this, a mafia tactic. They've got these guys under control. And at the same time, they got dirt on them. They got dirt on them for the rest of their lives, and that's right about after that's when Obama came in, and that's why there has been no more fighting between the Pentagon. But also, if most people forget that under Obama, there was a huge, almost Soviet Stalin-style purge of the military higher echelon. Almost none of the original generals that were there, they fired thousands of them, and high-ranking freaking generals. And here's the thing.
Well, Petraeus right here, he's I don't know him directly, but I have friends that do, and they got rid of him because the chick he was sleeping with and was writing books. I don't think the man gave up any top secret things to her, but that's what they used. And real quick, Jay, let me run you through a real quick thing. First of all, anyone that's the IT guy in the Pentagon that would allow Pornhub or Xmaster or whatever to get through their firewalls or even get out is lame, number one. Number two, Cisco. Aris builds 99% of the cable modems out there. And if our buddy Ron was here, we might be able to discuss that. Cisco, all these things that I have even running here have chipsets in them called BIOS and the chipsets, and they have processors. And we buy these things thinking that we're locking them down, but even someone with my background, I don't know what the hell's going on inside other than the user interface and the fact that I trust the name Cisco. Well, it came out. Intel, ARM, all the processors, AMD, all the BIOS manufacturers, it's just a family show. These CSers, I'll just let that to the imagination, have even screwed me indirectly. And now I'm pissed because I bought your product. I spent huge money because I bought your product. And now even my iPhone, I need a frickin' head examination because I paid $900 for my frickin' iPhone 8. But I bought it because that's what we use in our business, and my iPad. But at the end of the day, I mean, the damn thing sits right here next to me, and I don't know who's watching me or listening to me, guys. And I'll tell you, it's happening. It's happening.
Let me add to what you said. I can tell you for a fact, for many years, even in the nuclear power industry, you couldn't even go to a website that had anything to do with guns, let alone child pornography. And that's in a nuclear power plant, which is a whole lot less secure than the Pentagon. And we could not go to a website. It would block us if we tried to even go to Shotgun News or Cheaper Than Dirt, any of the websites that sold ammunition or guns, let alone pornography. It was blocked.
Right.
So them telling me,
what we do is we reverse engineer. And we don't say we're gonna block certain sites. We reverse that and say you can only go to these sites. Like with my medical clinic that I host here, they can only go to the Time Clock program and any insurance providers, but they can't go anywhere else. So I reversed it. It's not that I have to keep a blacklist. I keep a whitelist.
Right. And
you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, the problem with it is since, you know, they used to do this back in the 70s and 80s. It's a common practice. Anytime could some guy build a program, even video games, whatever it is, he would build a back door. And unless you knew how to find that back door, it was next to impossible to locate it, and he could access it anytime he wanted to, and that's still going on. That's all the Israelis did, and all their computers, you can look at where they got their computers from, and all of it came from the Tehran schools and the Telpiot program, and that's how they got in. Because what bothered me at the time is, okay, first off, you know, all these computers, all within like 2 months of each other, decide to download all this child pornography. All these guys get caught doing it. Almost nobody saw any prosecution for it at all. I mean, I don't know if anybody did.
Bullshit.
Nobody saw prosecution.
Yeah, I call
well,
bullshit.
That's the thing. But they took the time to put it on the mainstream media. They took the time, and we all know the mainstream media, I don't care if it's Fox News, whatever it is, if it comes out of the electric synagogue, a.k.a. your television, you're not only supposed to hear it, it's important that you hear it. Okay, so why would they broadcast that out there? Well, that's a part of the blackmail. That's a part of the intimidation, is to let all those guys know, hey, look, we own you. And anytime we want, we'll release this information, and you will be shamed. No one will believe your story. Who cares if you get out of it? You'll be dishonorably discharged. You will lose everything. When you're dealing with military and, you know, law enforcement, guys like that, there's a lot of egos and a lot of pride and all that stuff getting mixed up. And, you know, and that's going to lock those guys down. Now, I couldn't put it together until the purging happened. And from what little bit, because the documents are sealed from the investigation for 100 years as a common practice, so you can't actually get the documents to find out what guys actually had the child porn. There's a few little – WikiLeaks picked up some leaked stuff because, you know, WikiLeaks doesn't talk about anything that has to do with Israel, the Jews. You have to go find it. But I picked up a few leaked stuff, so I was able to get a few of the names. And sure enough, of the 10 names I was able to find, they were all general, two-star, one-star, and every one of them are one of these guys that got purged under Obama. And here's the other side of it. Oliver North committed treason. Oliver North committed treason, and he was a host on Fox News selling books and stuff. So the idea that there's this great military purge going on, and not one of these guys has ever been heard from in the media. Not one of them. Thousands of them were fired. High-ranking generals of high respect. We haven't heard nothing. They haven't even started a YouTube channel. Those guys are silent. So that means that
where's
there's
Petraeus,
something you're really scared of.
I mean, he was all over Tampa. He was a man about town, and his girl had clearance.
We ain't heard a lick from him. I haven't heard a peep from him.
Yeah.
None of them. But what about all the others? Yeah, we hear about Petraeus, but there were so many others, and the reason why is because they got this over them. That's why these guys aren't saying anything, and now there's a compliant group in the Pentagon. They're not saying nothing. And the amount of information and technology that's being sold to the Chinese, that's being stolen directly from us and just sold to the Chinese through Israel, is outrageous. It's staggering, the stuff that they've been doing.
Well, but they're putting it out that the Chinese are stealing from us, and I call bullshit again.
No, they're just buying
from the Israelis. The Chinese are meeting you and I in the men's room, and there's briefcases flying underneath the stall floors between the suits with money and plans and source code and boards, computer boards and hard drives. And, yeah. And so
it's all being done from Israel. They don't need to show up here. They just suck
it out
of our
computers. The men's room can be anywhere on the planet. I agree. Israel, even before Kim passed away, she said, look, Jim, I don't even trust Netanyahu. And when he came over here, the guy, you know, he put on a spectacular show just like Joel Osteen does. These people are motivators, but they're crooks. And she told me before she passed away, she goes, do not, certain things she said, don't trust the alien coming because they're the fallen angels. Don't trust Netanyahu. She hated the Jews, Dan. You would have loved Kim. I'm serious, and it took her and you to wake me up, and I don't mean to go off track, but we are being buffaloed in every direction to go circle back. The Chinese aren't stealing shit from us. They're being handed what somebody else is stealing from us, Jay, and I'll yield, yeah.
Well, I'll just add this thing, because this will make you giggle. This is a little white pill on top of the black pill casserole. The Chinese do still steal stuff. The problem is, here's the thing. This is why the white race, I'm sorry, this is why white Europeans are superior. The Asians have higher IQs than us, but they can't reproduce our technology. They can't. Everything the Chinese makes that they steal from us is crap. As a matter of fact, they still cannot produce an engine, a jet engine, that is strong enough to launch aircraft off their carrier decks. The only ones that actually will get off their carrier deck is the one that are the ones that are bought in Russia. So they got their hands on all of our equipment. They have the diet, but the problem is unlike us, like we can use schematics and information to just rebuild something and it'll be awesome. But
reverse
the Chinese can't do it.
Correct, right.
The Chinese got this is how bad it is. I think it was last year, the year before. Pastor Ben, you might remember this because you remember you sent out the news brief about it. A woman got caught working up that got Pensacola. She basically had boxed up. She had ordered and boxed up five high tech jet engines and was getting ready to. And these were for Navy fighter jets to sell them. And they were being loaded onto the freaking tanker ship in Tampa when they feds finally figured out what was going on and went in there and caught them and arrested this girl. And it's because despite the fact that they could steal all of our second technology, they can't build it worth a shit. They really can't. Chinese equipment sucks. They can't build it. I mean, it sucks. I mean, right now they're still spending, I think their military budget is like almost comparable to ours, but most of it goes into making their tanks larger and their guns bigger because the Chinese have gotten too fat to fit in them. And they're too tall now to fit in them.
I believe that is fact, Jay, but as you said, that is definitely a funny. And, Germany, in my opinion now, correct me if I'm wrong, but Germany is, the king of engine design and mechanical engineering, or at least they used to be.
The individual German, you give me a couple of purebred German scientists, and I'll throw them anything, and they'll figure it out. They'll make it awesome. They just do. Yeah. They have a great talent for it. They're excellent at it. But, I would say they're some of the best. They definitely are. They still make awesome tanks out of their own basic designs. They still make great equipment. The Germans have always been like that. And unlike the Soviets, we were smart enough to bring the German scientists over here to help us rebuild the technology after, we won World War II. Because, I love to be patriotic and stuff, but I'm sorry. Our jets sucked. Our jets could not fly very well. Our rockets were crashing into the stuff in the 1940s and early 45. Our stuff didn't start working properly until
we cut corners. And you know what? I love to buy and build USA. And that's why Toyota really, real quick story. My older brother, his first car was an old Toyota Celica, and my dad went batshit crazy when he brought that car home because he bought a Jap car. My dad went batshit crazy when I went to Kmart and bought an inner tube for my bicycle tire that was made in Japan. My dad was made in the USA. But to fast forward, Toyota and Nissan, and of course their spinoff Lexus and all those happy bag shits, but Toyota built a good product, okay, regardless of being Japan, being this, being that. And shame on us, Dan, because now we're going back to the team thing. What happened to General Motors? What happened to Chrysler? What happened to Ford? They cut corners. What? They went cheap. Toyota came in with I had a couple of Celicas. Hell, I had an $80,000 Toyota twin turbo Supra. That was a fucking, freaking nice car. Well, but did I betray my country by buying a quality piece of machinery? See? I did because we couldn't produce it ourselves, guys, and that's what we have to get back to. And I'm sorry to interrupt, but, Jay, does that make sense?
I wouldn't say it's not. I don't think it's that we couldn't. There was just no motivation because those industries had been destroyed by Marxist jerk-offs within the unions. That's why when you go to Pennsylvania, the old steel town where they used to have steel mills and everything, those buildings look like crap and are decrepit. But right over to the local Teamsters Union, that building looks like it's brand new. That building still got people in it. I don't know who they're working for, but that building's still functioning. And that's, the Marxists got a hold of the unions and messed it up. And also, I would say the Japanese are a different thing. There's a reason why the Germans were allies with the Japanese, and the Japanese are a different thing. I would say of the Asians, and I won't even get it, but the Japanese are a different program. They're a little bit of a different program, and that's how all the Asians are, because that's the funny thing about Asia is when you look at Asia as a whole area, all the Orientals, they are like where white Europeans were in the 14th and 15th century. They're fighting with each other. They're free. All of them are fighting with each other. The Vietnamese don't like the Chinese. Chinese don't like them. The Filipinos don't like the Chinese. I mean, they all fight with each other right now. But I would say the potential for Asian allies within the movement is very high because I don't know, Pastor Dan, if you've seen it. You remember Evergreen College, that thing that went on where they took over the school and freaking the that Jewish professor couldn't even go to his class because they were going to have Black Day and the white kids couldn't even come last year. Do you remember that from Evergreen
yep.
College last year, Pastor Dan? Well,
yep.
if you go online, that professor gave a speech. I think he was at AIPAC, honestly. He was somewhere. He's a Jewish guy, but he was giving a speech, and about 15 minutes into the speech, he said something that I saved. And it said that, he goes, there was at one point when during in the middle of all this thing going on, all this anti-white hatred that was happening, he said that all of a sudden one of the black kids stand up and goes, well, you know what? We need to have a talk about these Asians because these Asians are just as bad as the white people. And it's something I'm noticing within the Asian community because they're starting to realize that, you know what, if the whites disappear, we're next. We're the next privileged class that is going to have to be racially destroyed. We're next. And there's a lot of them that are starting to notice that. I think that's why, over in Asia, especially in Taiwan, there's whole bars devoted to the Third Reich. It's like a common thing to have, National Socialist cosplay parties. I think they call it Nazi chic or something. And they dress up like it. And it's because they're very racially awake because of the issues they have between their own peoples, but all of them are kind of aware of the fact that, yeah, they're the next privileged class. They're going to be the new white people if we ever freaking disappear.
Yeah, that's a good point. There was that story about, I can't remember if it was in Korea or Japan, where the children had German uniforms on, and somebody dressed up like Hitler. It was a costume day. There were parades and all that. And quite a few of them, apparently, they mimicked the National Socialist German Workers' Party and had their uniforms. They had swastika flags and all that. Of course, the Jewish media went apoplectic over it, and but it's it's over there. They're not hampered like we are. They still haven't bought the lie that they can't be proud of who they are, and they know the truth more than we do. They know the truth about World War II because the Japanese were allied with Germany, and so they knew what was really going on. They're not as propagandized and as stupid as most of the European and Western nations. Our people are ignorant, and they seem to be blissfully ignorant, which is that's a sin. That's a shame because, again, we've accepted mediocrity. You wanted to talk about why nothing works in America anymore. It's because we don't hold anybody accountable anymore. How many millions of dollars was spent to buy that piece of shit computer program from that Canadian minority group just so Obama could look good with the minorities, and it didn't work. Now, who was held accountable for that?
And then at the press release, that blonde-haired puppy dog came out when she was introduced and had a little cartoon about a computer crashing, and that was actually, Dan, that was one of Michael Obama. Oh, I'm sorry, Michelle, or whatever the hell that orangutan is, it was her college buddy. And,
right.
And it was billions of dollars. And Dan, and Jay, and listeners, I 100% confidence that I could have built that for a few hundred thousand dollars.
Right. Well, that's my point.
And paid myself very handsomely to do
right.
so.
What about the bridge in Miami that they gave the contract to all those girls that were supposed to be, they're trying to make builded bridge constructors, and they built a bridge and within a month it fell. And then they killed like two people.
Yeah.
No, it fell down right away, Jay.
I thought it lasted like a week or something.
Well, that was the one across the college campus, right? It was across the road.
Yeah. You could watch
no,
the videos
it fell down
online,
within
but,
a day. Yeah.
It fell down. Because
traffic was going, and you know, regular traffic was happening on it, and friggin' it fell right away. And this is where I tell people it's a cold comfort. Once again, it's another white pill on top of the black pill casserole. But one inherent silver lining to forcing out of firing of all of our good people and, you know, all these white men and good white thinkers and excluding them and all this persecution we're being put under right now. The one benefit it is going to offer us is the enemy is inevitably packing the upper echelons of their military, business, tactical thinking organizations with incompetent, low IQ idiots. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not a perfect, but, you know, that's just a benefit to us. That is the one thing. It is a benefit to us. So, you know, who knows when it'll bust off, but, it, you know, when it does, it'll always be helpful to know that they have packed their freaking organization with jackasses. We'll have all the cream of the crop thinkers.
Right. And as far as these people like Kerry and Maxine Waters and the rest of these communist traitors amongst us, it's been said that this is being done. A lot of what's being said and done right now is based on Sun Tzu's Art of War to flush out who the biggest enemies are. The people with the most to hide are the most vocal right now against Q, Trump, the administration, the draining of the swamp. They are the ones screaming the loudest for impeachment, etc., because they are some of the people who have the most to pay for. They have committed the most crimes. They've taken the most bribes. And sure enough, you look at the people coming out with their phony, like Bob Woodward, that idiot Jew, with his totally piece of trash article.
Oh, no kidding, Dan.
Yeah,
go ahead.
John
that
Kerry,
was absolutely
Maxine
nuts.
Waters, yeah. All the rest of these shills are, you just look, whoever's raising the most hell right now is definitely part of the crowd that's on the list to be taken down. And that's why they're...
Well, you know how that works against us, Dan. Is, see, I'm very vocal, and I've had visits from people that I really didn't ever think. Little old me with my little old radio channel here. Mm-hmm. They have 4 visits from the DOJ over comments. What does that tell you, people? Why in the world? See, and so see your analogy works both ways. They are cataloging you, me, Jay, others, because we do have the balls and the nads to do these radio shows, do these calls. I have no fear, guys. I have no fear. That doesn't mean I'm going to be crazy, but I know I'm doing what I've been called to do, and I'm not going to cower. And even though the guys that came here, you know, the last trip, they were cool. Really, the first few times I kind of thought the one guy was a little weenie. But the last time they were here, I think the message they sent me was, just be careful what you say, but we're behind you because we can't speak.
Right.
And we have a lot of guys in FBI and Secret Service and even sheriffs. I lost all my sheriff buddies because they were forced to retire. Deputy sheriffs, by the way. But you know what? They're out there. And it's like the sheriff you mentioned there in Daytona. He's behind us or behind the group there. And I think they applaud us, Dan and Jay and Ron and Craig and Bubby 1483 there in the chat room. And I don't mean to leave somebody out. But these people listen to us, and they know that we're not violent, we're not going to do anything stupid, and they secretly stand behind us. And I look forward to the day that we can go meet these people to where they're not afraid, because they're afraid of losing not only their paycheck each week, but their tenure, that is going to afford them their pension.
That's how they blackmail us.
Well,
that's
they ain't
they,
getting to me, Dan.
Well, that's
now,
how
they came
do it.
Close, but yeah.
That's how they do it. I've got a good friend of mine. His twin brother is a captain, just a retired captain in the Navy. And you should see the list of perks that this guy's got. He didn't really hardly work at all his whole career. He had subordinates do most of the actual work, so he's almost like a congressman. They're just a figurehead. They actually don't do a hell of a lot of anything.
So is so he cowering to protect his
trappings
of life and would not stand with us?
He made a statement that he supported the rounding up of all weapons in the civilians' hands.
Oh, my God. We need to go kick his ass, yeah.
Well, my buddy, his brother, jumped all over his stuff over that one. The father of these two guys is also a veteran, and he just shakes his head because he is completely flabbergasted that his son would say something as stupid as that. But he's doing what is politically correct because he's got too much to lose. He's got a gigantic house paid for. He's got all kinds of perks. He's got 70-some thousand a year in retirement.
He sold his country out.
He sold his country out for perks. Yeah. That's exactly right, for perks.
God, screw him.
And well, here's the problem, though, Jim. I have to say this. Everybody continuing to carry out that paycheck and is not lifting a finger to say anything. I mean, because I could lose my job for what I'm having a conversation with you guys right now. But, you know, but I don't hear none. I only hear me. I haven't heard none of these guys out here trying to talk or say anything. They could do that. They could come on the stream. They could risk something. This continued process of not risking anything, but, you know, secretly being, oh, yeah, I'm for you guys, but you're not risking anything because you don't want to freaking lose your job. Well, as far as I'm concerned, that's your 30 pieces of silver. That's your 30 pieces of silver.
Right.
You know, if you're going to wait for us to fix it, I'm not going to have time for you guys. You better hope QAnon is real and you guys are going to get behind them because you guys are going to be done. There's going to be no sympathy because
well, you know what, Jay?
That's your,
I certainly don't want to hear, you know, if you can last another week or another month or another 6 months, at the end of the exercise, and I've said this live on my show, those that are protecting their pensions and letting their country go to hell, damn you, because your pension's going to end. And when it ends, you're going to be asking to come to my house because I prepared, and absolutely the answer is no. You've whored out your country, and if you're not man enough to put up on the table your pension and fight for your oath and who you thought that you were and who you proclaimed to be, you're no man, and frankly, you don't deserve that money. And Dan, you nailed it. That's your money. You paid into it. I cashed that on my 401ks. I paid into them. I cashed it out. The only thing I have out there hanging in the breeze is Social Security. And I'll tell you what, I have a better chance of having $1 billion of cash by forklift landing on my front porch right now than I have ever collecting any of that money. That's just pissed away. And hopefully somebody else gets my money because I will never claim Social Security due to the positioning that I've taken in life. But at the end of the day, I'm going to circle back. Anyone that tells me, Jim, I'm going to give you this tip, but you can't tell me where it came from, I respect that. But there's got to come a time where the men, especially the men, and I got a couple of gals that are retired as well, but mostly men that are sitting, cowering behind their pensions when they could do so much more to get this fix in the works. I have no empathy for them because guys like Jay, Dan, myself, if I may include, others, we're going to be the guys that are going to fix this country back, and we're going to be able enough to assume control. We're going to assume control.
Here's the problem with the people that are sitting back thinking they can just ride this thing out and not get hurt. What they don't understand is if we fail, if this country goes down and the communists have their way, and all these leftists and Jews that we're talking about are outright Satanists and communists, if they win, what makes them think that they're going to honor any of these pensions and their savings and everything else?
Oh, they're not, Dan.
Look what they did to the Russians. Huh? Look what they did to the Ukrainians. They starved them to death. Those people didn't even have a pension. They just had bags of grain that they brought in off the farm. They went in at gunpoint and took their grain and starved them to death. You think they're going to let a captain in the Navy sit in his 4,000 square foot mansion with his 70-some thousand dollar pension and all of his other perks, that they're going to let him get away with it once they've got control? They're buying his silence now. He could make a difference. After they win, he's one of the useless eaters. They line up against the wall and shoot him.
Well, and I'll add this in too, given this is you know, the nature of who you are and what we always say on the show and what you talk about. You know, are you an atheist out there if you're listening? Are these people atheists? Probably not. They probably believe in some sort of afterlife, some sort of God, something. And I'm going to tell you right now, God is not going to be okay with the fact that you laid out, you kept your mouth shut because you needed to take care and get your pension and your immediate family. When you could get an anonymous freaking account and freaking make a phone call, you could get out and say something, you could do something, but you did nothing. You risked nothing, nothing at all. And God doesn't care. Every sacrifice is important. Just a little effort, and you're putting none in. You won't risk none of it. I'm sorry.
Amen, Brother Jay. Amen, my Brother Jay.
God's not going to be okay with that.
Amen. I believe you to be 100% accurate. You're right. The Word says that we are to resist evil with all of our heart, mind, body, and soul. That means everything. Not just material goods. It's talking about your literal life. So, you know, if you haven't done a damn thing, you're a far cry from putting a risk to your actual life to resist evil. So it's not going to bode well for the believer when he stands in front of the great white throne judgment and has to give an accounting for why they sat there and didn't do a damn thing to try to fix this problem. We got the answers, folks. You know, sometimes I really feel like throwing my hat in the ring to run for governor. I really do, because it's like, and to go on a platform of saying, if you like what Trump did in Washington, give me a chance to do it in Tallahassee, because I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to drain the swamp, return control back to the counties, get the sheriffs in there, make sure they understand the power of their position, that they're more valuable and more powerful than any federal agency or state agency. They are the people's protection within the county, and bring back more governance in the county, at the county level, make sure the sheriffs know their duty. And as a governor, my job is just to make sure everybody plays fair. That's all. No, get rid of almost all the taxes. Start promoting free enterprise. We got tons of resources here. We got all kinds of ports. We got all kinds of touristy things. Florida could do really marvelous things if you turn loose the entrepreneurial spirit of the people here. All you need the governor and the state offices to do is make sure everybody plays fair. That's all. Just get rid of the other problems.
Amen, Dan. And I've said this to you guys. My constituents around here are begging me to run for city council. Begging me. They have for 20 years. And at one point, I almost did. But, see, here's the thing. And this is what I think we can fix. But it's like just here in Florida, what was the Jew guy, Green, real estate mogul worth $2 billion, throws hat in rings and it uses his own money. We have to stop with this donate to my campaign bullshit. Take the money out of it. and put back. All right, let's say Governor Scott, for instance. Him and his wife have the majority ownership in the Mosquito helicopter company, and they got, like, I don't know, some stupid $1 billion over the fake Zika scare. And I know I had a hand in busting them. I damn near got arrested by exposing them. And you know what? I'm a nice guy. I'm polished. I'm educated. But I'm also a Southern man. And I will drop the F-bomb, and I will call Governor Scott and call him a blankety-blank scumbag, which I did. But at the end of the day, Dan, to circle back to what you're saying, if we could get good men as spokesmen for the community in city council, school boards, county councils, the governor, the attorney general, the agriculture director of Florida, Florida's got a lot of potential. Yeah, there's some rednecks here. That's what keeps us Florida. But we have a lot of intelligent people here, Dan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And in closing on that remark, listen, I don't want to see anybody hurt. I really don't. But I pray to our Father above daily to get on with the cleansing. I know we're going to see pictures and people are going to perish. It's just the way it is. I have no control over that. But I pray to our Father that our group is left intact and we're able to rebuild this fine country and planet. Because we all just talked about, I don't have a problem doing business with Russia. I don't have a problem doing business with Germany. You build good engines? Great. We'll buy your engines. We used to build great cars. You know, and Tesla. Not Tesla, but who's this asshole that is, you know, he's fizzling out. He turned out to be a fraud. We just
Elon
launched another.
Musk?
Yeah, Elon Musk.
Elon Musk, I mean.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Thank you. I mean, listen, I like fun times, but why in the frick would you put an $800,000 car up in a rocket with some dummy only to fly around? I mean, why? And the guy has turned out to be a fraud. He is Jewish fund. His money, where did his money come from? Dan and Jay, if we had 1/200th of that money that comes from God knows where, I think it's the taxpayer, to really put forth our men and our brains and even our ladies, even our women, and we really buckle down, like you said, Dan, we're a great country with great minds. And I'll tell you what, in closing, I found this with all my companies. If my employees are paid well and happy and comfortable, guess what? They're loyal. And if I need them on a Saturday, oh, Jim, hey, no problem.
Right.
I would like to give an impression of what, you know, Pastor Dan's really talking about when he talks about him being governor, because everyone talks about I'll be this or that. And I think I can give people that are listening a real life example of what Pastor Dan's leadership under as governor would sound like, and using an example that we actually talked about tonight. Picture Pastor Dan's governor's office about 10 o'clock at night, random night. Phone call rings. Secretary answers it. Governor Dan, the sheriff of Cut County is on the phone. Something about the feds have taken over an observatory or something in this town. I can't really sound. He sounds kind of, like, nervous. Well, let me see. Yes, sheriff of Cut County, how can I help you? Well, and are you the sheriff of this town? What do you mean it's the feds? I don't give a goddamn who it is. Fucking kick down the gate and go in there and arrest those idiots. They don't show
Amen.
Up in this town and do whatever the hell they want. Don't ever
kick
call them like
that
again.
Out,
if you
Jay.
Call them... When you have all those guys in handcuffs, and you understand, if they don't tell you what's going on, then call me, and then I will call the feds. God damn it, do your job. Do I have to send someone down there to do it for you? You
right.
have guns. You have more guns than them. Get on it. Click.
Yeah. No, amen. Applause, 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 Jay. You are spot on, brother.
Well,
and that's,
just
the truth,
like,
and that's the way it's thinking down.
It's just like Moses when he was the top guy with the Israelites, the whole power structure, the whole chain of command, most government, most of the leading of the communities was done at the local level. Very few things bubbled up to what got to the top. And the governorship should be exactly the same way. Leave the people the hell alone. If you want to do them a favor, go in and whack about 90% of the government positions out completely. Whack most of the taxes out. Whack 90% of the laws on the shelves out because they're useless. They're only used by Jews to keep competition down. So take all that stuff and burn it and sit there. And all you got to do is make sure everybody plays fair. That's all. Like Jay just said, Dan. If a sheriff has a problem or needs a little bit of coaxing, let him know. You're the most powerful man in that county. That you owe your allegiance to the people of the county who elected you. Then you take care of that damn county. If you need extra help, call the militia in, or call the. Call the National Guard down there or whatever.
I was just going to say, Dan, if that sheriff is a good sheriff, he's going to have people like us different levels. And you know what? If my phone did a ringy-dingy and my county sheriff said, hey, Jimmy, I need you to come help me because I got some spooks here, I'd say, hey, Dan, I got to leave this call. I'm getting a call to duty, call to action. And you just go kick them out. But at the end of the day, I use the word spooks, but for the guys to even come in that capacity, in Jay's example, they should know that if they're following orders that are not constitutional, they should say, no, supervisor, we're not doing that. And if that spread through, and they had the balls of a man, a true man, that would spread through to where even, you know, we need an FBI-type force. Now, do I think we should abolish the CIA and FBI? Yes. But abolish, I say we rebuild the FBI, but we put them under the guidance and tutelage of the sheriff of the local jurisdiction, period.
Here's my thing on that, though. We got to be careful with that, too, because really fast we can end up in the same environment of everybody needing permission slips. Everyone thinks they have to have a permission slip.
Okay, well, see, you bring that expertise to the table.
I understand what you're saying, but every person in that town is considered a member of the militia, is really considered a member of the sheriff. Sheriff's office don't need to be near as big as they are, but, you know, without going off on another tangent, I could add a change to that whole conversation. It probably would sound more like this. I don't hear any gunfire going on behind you, Sheriff Cuck. So did you arrest all these guys? Have you stormed the facility and kicked down the gates? Is there a Black Hawk helicopter burning on the observatory lawn right now? Because if there's not, you better call me back when there is, and you need help.
Well, good point,
really,
Jay.
They do. The feds do not have any authority. All that stuff is so unconstitutional. And if we want to follow up the Constitution, all we have to do is enforce it. Those laws are there. And all we have to do is enforce it. But we don't. But I don't know if you know the details of that story out there. The reason why we know the details that we do is because the sheriff of the town rode down to the observatory and the FBI guys were standing outside the front gate and just told them, you're not coming in. And no, we're not going to tell you what's going on, and we got this. Go away. And that's what he did. And he basically was whining to the press about how the FBI won't call me back. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Federal agents are below
Jay, let me ask
below
you, please, and honestly, please.
Federal
Are you suggesting?
Hold on.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
I just want to say, federal agents, they're not – law enforcement officers. They're not investigating crimes and all. They're not law enforcement officers. They're administrators with guns. Okay, they're bureaucrats with guns, and really right now they're all treason. As far as I'm concerned, all federal law enforcement, I don't care who you are, FBI, CIA, DEA, I don't give a damn. If you're a federal law enforcement officer right now, with all the criminal things we have going on, Hillary Clinton committed treason, but you're arresting soldiers that screw up and accidentally leave, you know, classified documents from their filing job, you know, in a gym bag, and nobody ever saw it, but that guy's rotting in prison. You'll take that arrest, but you're not going to lift a finger to go after her? Well, you're nothing but Cosa Nostra with better guns and worse clothes. You're just the criminals. You are the criminals. You are a part of them. That's why I don't believe any of this white hat nonsense. Because they're them. They're a part of the, they're foot soldiers. You are in the mafia. You're not law enforcement officers. You're not protecting the public. You're not out for the greater good. You're part of the problem. And, I'm saying this, I'm in there right now, and freaking, it's a mess. It's a mess. You're a part of the problem. You just leave people, they need to come to terms with that. But anyway, I'm sorry I got off on a tangent there. I'm sorry.
That's all right. Yep. Go ahead,
but,
Jimmy.
Hey, Jay, no. And no, you're definitely on the right page, but and I, you know what, guys, I have manners at the table, but in this mess, I had to ask. Are you telling me, Jay, that this sheriff, he may have cowered to the feds, and to make excuses? Maybe he didn't know. Does this man not know?
No, he knew. He knew. He went to the building. He went to the. He was there. He was there with 15 or something like 15 of his
officers. So he knew that that's his jurisdiction. And these cocksuckers, excuse me, ladies, he could have told them to leave, but why didn't he? Is he absent a nad? Is he worried about his job? Because
exactly.
Frankly, if he was the sheriff of my jurisdiction, and he told the feds to get the F out of Dodge, I'd vote for him next election. I'd be right there. So, see,
does he know
that he is the supreme lawman of the jurisdiction, Jay? Does he?
Ignorance to the law is not an excuse. We hold citizens accountable for that, so I'm going to hold cops accountable for that. I don't care if he doesn't know. He should have known. He should have known.
I'm sorry, officer. I didn't realize that rectangle sign that's red with a stop on it meant that I needed to stop my vehicle. Well, listen, dumbass. You know, ignorance of the sign is not going to get you out of this ticket to be parochial.
Oh, and I'm sorry. I didn't realize that enemies, foreign and domestic, actually included federal law enforcement officers,
yeah,
too. I thought that
exactly.
They were exempt from prosecution. That's the same thing.
I don't mean to laugh, but you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. We got a long way to go. A lot needs to be cleaned up. There's no doubt about it. But here's the good thing that I'm saying, you know, whether Q is for real or not, whether there's white hats or not, the beautiful thing is we're going to know one way or the other very, very soon. And that's why I'm telling people to be prepared, because it could go either way. We could be being played. And these guys don't exist. They're just setting us up, like Jay says, to buy him time. The good news is that for whatever reason, it's coming down to the wire real soon, real soon. So they either exist, and we're going to see the perps do the perp walk, or it's grab your guns and be ready to go, guys, because it's Civil War II and the fight for independence all over again, because the swamp never got drained. They just bought time. One way or the other, we're going to know within a few weeks.
Yeah, and the one benefit of this Q thing, I will say, is I remember our last conversation, you know, January. I remember we said January. Well, come January, when nothing has happened with these Q people, well, then we we need to get on every other social media organization that's on our side out there, and the tone needs to be changed. I don't care. Well, you know, we need to denigrate anybody talking. We need to stop all that stuff and not realize that. Stop selling them time and stop listening to guys like Q and that. Be like, no, you guys had your chance. You screwed it up. Too late. Do something. You know, clearly we have to do it. But we'll get until January. Well, I'm fine with that. We'll give them that till then. If they don't react by then, they're on their own.
Well, we should see a succession of events happen between now and January. It probably won't take till January, and we'll know whether we've been lied to, because what they're saying is indictments against big name people are within the next week to 2 weeks. So we don't even have to wait till January. I know I said that because this other stuff hadn't come out yet. But with the latest things that have been said, we're going to know within a month, maybe even the next 2 weeks, whether this is just a play on words to buy time or whether they're for real, because big indictments against big names were supposed to be coming down the pike, and the declassification of the IG report and the FISA information is supposed to happen like right around the corner. That to me means 2 to 3 weeks at most. So we don't have to go all the way to January, because if that doesn't happen, I'm on your side, Jay. I'll get some more ammo loaded into the magazines and get ready, because it's up to us. There's no white knights out there. Nobody's going to come to our rescue. It's us and Yahweh, our King, and that's it. We're on our own.
And then that's when we do our best things. That's when we do our greatest things, because, people built this country. We used to be in the common habit of loading up and freaking dragging corrupt politicians out of their houses and freaking, you know, because as it stands right now, it's kind of like a person raising a child. A child will get away with whatever you let them get away with. They'll continue. If you let them go to whatever point and don't ever check them, they'll just keep going. Well, that's what these freaking criminals are running our government, carrying handcuff badges and guns around. I don't care if they're in suits and ties or in blue uniforms. It doesn't matter. That's what they're doing, and we can check them. We can. We can check them anytime we want. We just don't. We don't. Right. A lot of it's fear. A lot of it's fear, and we don't understand our own power. And I think that's the, once this cue doesn't happen, I think that's the direction we need to be directing our, if we have to talk about incidents in history, moments of it, people need to understand how powerful they really are and how we don't have to take this. There's 1,000 different ways and tactics we could stop this anytime we wanted, and it ain't that complicated, and it can be done on a local level.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
You're right. We have the power. We have the talent. It's fear. I agree with you. It's fear. Simply that. There may be a few cases where we just don't realize how powerful we are and the rights that we actually have. They have brainwashed us so badly that a lot of people just have a hard time conceiving of that kind of power and authority at the local level. So we have to educate them, we have to motivate them, but the anger level, I can tell you this much, if anything that I'm being contacted about is any kind of indicator, the anger level and the amount of fear is dwindling. Anger is going up, fear is going down. So again, another indication that we're on a precipice of some big things happening. And you're right, we need to do that. We need to know there's no other hope and just get our asses out there and do it, because we've been selling them time, and if they don't step forward and show some gumption and go after the perps, then leave it up to us, because we'll do it. We'll get a citizen's grand jury to go, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz will be waiting for her day in front of the tribunal. And we have lots of rope. We'll be sure we've got lots of rope in the storehouse, because we got a whole lot of them are going to be hanging.
And I got to tell you this. It's like, on another note, this is kind of just a fun conversation here. Of all of the people that need to be drug in and put on trial for all the crimes they have done to us, of all of the people, I want to be a part of, I'd love to be in charge of it, but at the bare minimum, I would just like to be a part of the group of people that are going to look for media personnel. Because here's my thing, is Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Rachel Maddow, are those people all that powerful and quintessential? They are and they aren't. They are and they aren't, but they're a symbol. They're the kind of people that need to be show trials. Everyone needs to see that, because they're the ones that fed you the lies. Let's not forget, Sean Hannity, I can show you tapes of him sitting up there going, anybody that says that the government would stage 9/11, hates this country, is a complete piece of crap, wants to murder babies, and doesn't like America. I mean, and I'm sorry, and he knew those people knew, and those are the purest, to me, those are the purest example of these people that know better, have an opportunity to at least make some sort of move and choose not to. And because of their failure to have integrity, to have courage, because of their failure, so many people have suffered and died and been persecuted and lost everything. And they need to be punished. They need to be publicly punished. And I got to say, of course there's Rothschilds and there's ex-presidents and all that, but I don't think I'm alone. A lot of us that have been in the movement for years, the most satisfying rope strings that they're gonna see, the ones that'll give them that special smile to go, oh yeah, this is what it's about, is gonna be when those people go down, when those individuals get punished. They didn't pass the laws, but they're the ones every night they had to look at telling those lies and freaking denigrating everybody we cared about and selling that to the people. So in a weird way, they're just as guilty, maybe even more so liable for all the death and pain as some of the worst of like the Rothschilds and this and that.
Jay,
think that.
Just remember, I get to beat Anderson Cooper's ass and Jamie Dimon, which is the CEO of Chase Bank. I claim those as mine.
Well, Jay, you've got a good point there, because right along with the media people that have perpetrated the lies and propaganda, I would put in that same category these prostitute preachers behind the pulpit, because in effect they've done the exact same thing. The people don't know what's going on because you've got the liars across the image of the beast called the television, and you've got the liar down at the church telling you don't get involved, and the biggest perpetrators of the crimes are God's chosen people. So between the two of them, they've basically mentally castrated the men into not doing a damn thing to fix the problem.
Well,
so
Dan, let me ask you a question to that real quick. How in the world, first of all, Joel Osteen rents or leases that huge stadium, and he was letting people in last year, and that kind of tarnished his. But Dan and Jay and listeners, I'm a businessman, all right? But to create that kind of weekly income, how in the world could any one man and his, and his wife fucks around, and they're not clean people. But, Dan, how in the world is it that so many people not only follow this son of a bitch, but this guy brings in millions of dollars every week into that swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And these people come in. And frankly, I'll be honest, back in 2005, I used to follow Robert Schuller. I used to tithe to the Crystal Cathedral on my Visa card, dumbass me. I used to listen to Joel Osteen. The guy is a great motivational speaker. And if you have issues in your life, boy, does he know how to get to those. Maybe that's how he does it. But this guy pumps in, just to rent his arena. And then, see, this is what really, I already knew the guy was a scumbag, but what was it, last year or year before, the hurricanes came in and people needed shelter, and yeah, he wouldn't open up his facility until public pressure. All right, Joel, I thought you were a man of God, you cocksucker. Excuse me, ladies. And he finally did open it up, but they can only go in here and they can only have cots. We can't let them in the executive office, which I get. But, Dan, my question, and Jay, and listeners, how did this guy get there? That to me is a reverse psychology. How did this one, is it his charisma, his haircut, his plastic surgeon
Well, the little Jew got there the same way Bill Clinton got there, and it's because people have shut their brains off and they let their emotions and their eyeballs override logic and rational thinking. Olstein, even though he's a Talmud-thumping kike, pretends to be a Christian, but he's got the words. He's got the smooth words, just like Nakash did in the garden when he convinced Eve to lay down with him. They are snake oil salesmen. They know how to play the part. They know how to say those words that make you put your guard down, and the whole time they're fleecing you, all right? So it's the same thing. It's propaganda, it's presentation, it's charisma, and the weak-minded of our people, again, why? Because we've bled the strongest, greatest men of our race have bled the ground red in all these damn wars for these damn Jews, and we have come to the point where what's left is a feminized men and feminists among the women. And they have had a point control enough to the point where we are a mediocre race at best, because that's easier than trying to bring people that are incapable to rise up to a higher standard. So now we give trophies to everybody because they don't want anybody to try to be the best. They want everybody to be mediocre. They want us to be part of the herd. We don't want one cow thinking it's better than the other cow. So the goyim stay mediocre, then we'll never rise up and give any trouble to our Jewish masters. That's the philosophy. The problem is, why did the white race buy into this BS? That's what I don't understand. Why is it that nobody stood up and said, wait a minute, what do you mean? That I'm goyim and that I'm mediocre and that you're supposed to be the masters of this world. Where's that written? Again, we listened to the snake oil salesman. We didn't listen to the Holy Spirit. It's something at the spiritual level. Our people, I hate to say this, but I think most of the white race today are basically atheists. They may go through the motions of going to church, and they may carry a Bible, they may even recite a couple verses once in a while, but I think the majority of our people today are literally what Ezekiel called the valley of dead and dry bones.
They don't know, Dan, but I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, sir, and I think Jay wanted to weigh in, but yes, sir, I agree.
Yep,
people are leaving. They're leaving the word.
Right.
This is something I have thought about and muddled over in my head and looked at for a long time, because my thing is, anytime we talk about race and stuff, that is a collective thing. That's about groups of people. But God judges everybody individually. So everybody has an element of vicarious responsibility for the mess that we're in. And why does that guy have all that money? Why does he have what? Because all those parishioners show up to his church. And what are they selling? What are they selling to those people? If you want to find out why that guy is what he is and able to do what he does, you have to go talk to his parishioners. You got to go talk to those people. The lowest of the low, the ones that show up in the pews or to listen to the preaching, you got to talk to them. And what you're going to find out from the talking I've done to them, and I don't pretend to be an expert, but this is my own observation, they've become Christian Zionists. They're like a death cult. They're a weird, end-of-the-world death cult. They're basically... They recognize there's a problem. They know that they don't like seeing queers dancing in the streets and their kids having to go to school with friggin' transgenders and all this. They don't like any of this stuff, but they know that to look at the problem, to learn more about the problem and become aware, scares them because it's so big. And it's because they didn't stand up for the men that were trying to warn back in the day. We had Lincoln Rockwell. We had so many back in the day. Their men have been standing up left and right, but they allowed themselves to be fooled with the easy answer, because that's what these Christian Zionist preachers are selling them, is that you don't need to fight back. You don't need to take an effort. Just be in your family. Just be a good person right there. Don't worry about the rest of the world, because I'm going to do a translating. They don't say this out loud, but this is what they're really saying, and this is what these people are buying. These preachers are really saying, don't worry about it, okay? Because here's the thing. The Jews are going to bring their Messiah in. So they're going to make the world the way it is in end times. They're going to bring all the evil. They're going to bring us all the freaking, but the time before the flood and Sodom and Gomorrah. They're going to bring all that sinning and all that evil in. You just keep showing up. We'll keep giving money to them. You just be good little zombies. Don't worry about it. Wait. And when their Messiah shows up, then our Messiah will show up. And in the end, we're going to win, and you'll be able to live in paradise. So, yeah, just pay attention to your own stuff. Worry about making your own money. Give us money on the side, and that'll be your effort. That'll be your effort. Because in the end, our Messiah will show up. The Jews will bring us all the evil that we need. And you can just, when you go before God, claim plausible deniability. You can just go, well, I didn't know all that was going on. I didn't have the time to take and learn. I just thought those people were kind of crazy. I had my family to take care of and all that. And I don't. God's not going to buy that.
You sound like a lawyer.
Well, it makes sense because that's what they're doing. That's what they're all doing. And that's why they don't look. It's not because they can't or they don't have the time. It's because if they look and they learn the truth, then they wouldn't have plausible deniability anymore. They think that, because here's the thing, I talk to people, everybody, all those people, if you went to those people and you said, because I've tried to have debates with them, and this is where they end it. Once you box them in a corner, 9/11, Jews, murder, whatever it is. Once you get them boxed in a corner where they're at that point where they're going to have to realize that they have some personal responsibility and their actions can actually have an effect on how the end times happens when it goes down, because they don't want to believe that's true. They don't want to believe that their actions are going to have an effect on. You know what they tell me? They'll look at me and they'll go, well, the devil's in charge on this earth. Who do you think's in charge? That's what they'll say. And that is such a cop-out. That's basically going, well, God doesn't have any say anymore. The devil wants this to happen, so I can't do anything to fight against it because, you know, the devil's in charge right now. And I'm like, well, so you're a Satan worshiper, basically? And I think Pastor Dan could probably explain the nuance more of what I was getting at there. I think you know exactly what I'm talking about when they say that. But that's what they'll always do. You'll box them in a corner, and they'll go, well, the devil's in charge right now. And I just want to look at them, and I go, oh, so freaking, you have no free will then. You have no free will.
Well, gee, that's like saying that I have a home invader in my house, and I'm going to cower and lay down. And no, I'm going to freaking shoot him. But I hear what you're saying. We're become a nation of cowards. It's what I'm hearing you say, sir.
Yeah, and here's the problem, Jay. I've talked to a lot of people like that in the past. And what I usually do is say, well, we're over 2,000 years away from Christ, and yet our ancestors, who were a lot closer to the time he actually walked here, didn't behave that way. They acted like warriors. They were conquerors. They built civilizations. They carried weapons. They protected their people. So you're saying that all the people that lived closer to the actual time of Christ were ignorant and didn't know what they were doing, and somehow you're smarter than them. Is that it? Yeah, exactly.
Well, usually they won't continue the conversation after that. They just start stonewalling. You know, they get that look of that haze look on their face. The cognitive dissonance takes over, and you realize you're just beating your head against the wall. But that's what it is. It's just they can't look at it. They can't look at it because then they would realize that their souls are just as dirty as the Jews walking around.
Right.
And they can't. They realize that they're a part of this. You are a part of creating the end of the world. You are a part of bringing all this evil in. And that's the thing. They want it. I actually can tell you right now, there's so many of them that are good people that, you know, they're the kind of guys that would fight back. They're not necessarily a bunch of wusses or anything, but when it comes to this particular issue, if I went to these people, I guarantee you, if I went before that guy's church that you're talking about, and I stood up before all of them, and I said, hey guys, I got this button here, and if I push this button, it will postpone the end time for another 2,000 years. It won't be that evil, and it'll hold it off another 2,000 years, because I don't want the end time necessarily. Yeah, you're going to get this 1,000 years of paradise, but I don't want to try to make that to happen. I don't want to create the world and all this evil suffering, because you think it's bad now. Think of what it's supposed to be right before the end time. It's going to be fucking horrible. Sorry about that. I don't want it to be that. But here's the thing. Those people would probably lynch me right there. They would probably beat me to death on the spot to do everything they could to prevent me from pushing that button, because they want it. They want it to happen. And they will encourage it. They will work towards it happening, because to them, that is the only way out. That is the only way things are going to get fixed. That's like their it's worse than false hope in something. It's they're helping it to happen. They know they're doing it. They have a level of plausible deniability, but in reality, they know they're doing it. They know exactly what they're doing.
Yeah, they're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So they're deluding themselves, and they're creating a self-fulfilling prophecy that if they continue to do what they're doing, yeah, you'll bring it about, all right. I don't know how anybody gets past the verses that says that you're to resist evil with all your heart. The verses of King David when he said, I count your enemies, speaking of Yahweh, I count your enemies as my enemies, and I hate them with a perfect hatred. Why don't they talk about that at church? Okay, so the problem is that the people that sit in the pews, the sheep, have allowed themselves to be lulled to sleep by listening to people like Joel Osteen and Robert Schuller and all the rest of their ilk. Okay, but it's a lack of faith and laziness on the average white Christian in this world. They don't want to know the truth. They want their ears tickled, just like the prophet said. And we're living to see it happen. It's happening right now. The problem is for them is they're going to have a very rude awakening very soon. Now, they like to think that we're crazy and that we're on a out there on a limb, but actually they are putting themselves in the danger of hellfire. And they have invited an enemy in to sit amongst them, and it's not going to bode well for them. You know, they think that we're going to be in trouble, but Yahweh's already said that he'll watch out for his sheep. Psalm 91 is all we need to worry about there. But these other people are self-deluded, they're lazy, they're ignorant, and they like being that way. As Joe Cortina says, willful ignorance should be a capital crime. So good thing he's not in charge, or they'd all be roasting on a steak. So, but anyway, we've been over 2.5, guys. I think it's getting close time to wrap her up. So any closing thoughts? We'll go ahead and start with you, Jimmy, then we'll get Jay.
No, sir, Dan, other than it's always a pleasure to talk with you, and thank you for your gift of time, Jay. I can't wait till the next time we can all get together at the table in person again, because you are my newfound friend. And with that, Dan, thank you so much for making me a part of this call and for allowing me to be a member of your very respectful group. And with that, Yahweh bless. And I'm here if you guys need anything. I don't care if it's 3:00 in the morning. You need something. If it's in my pocket, it's yours.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jimmy, and Yahweh bless you, buddy. Jay, any final thoughts, buddy?
Yeah, on what we were just talking about at the end, now that I think about it, you know, instead of going out and, like, protesting the ADL and stuff, maybe that's what we should do. Maybe we should get a bunch of woke people that we can. Hell, we'll invite the pagans. We'll invite anybody. Maybe we should go protest one of these Zionist Christian churches. Let's get a couple of verses and say, you know, that's, you know, there must be people, examples of people in the Bible that are doing what these people are doing. And let's hold that. Let's point that out. Maybe that's who we should be going after. Maybe that's who we should be protesting. Put some pressure on those guys. Let them know that, hey, just so you know, I hope you like your great church, because you're going to burn in hell because you're helping all this to happen. And you know you're doing it. I mean, they're you know, it's just a thought. I don't know, you know. You know, you ever heard of that Sanderson guy? Maybe we could invite that Sanderson guy. He looks like he's a religious guy with some balls. Maybe he'd bring his flock down to give him hell.
Well, we can think upon it and pray upon it. I don't know. We're doing the best we can by attacking the enemy with truth. Truth is the worst thing for our enemy. They detest it. Truth hurts them. Every time we tell a truth, we put another cut in the beast, and I'm hoping that very, very soon we'll have enough cuts that sucker will bleed out and die. So, you know, we just keep hammering away at it, but we can certainly look at some of that stuff. But, you know, Father is the commander-in-chief, and so he'll put it in our minds what has to happen next. But just be aware that a lot of stuff is going to be shaking out here over the next 2 to 3 weeks. So We should all be on alert. It's not an accident that POTUS declared September a national day of preparedness, and that the emergency broadcast systems will be tested on the 20th of this month. I don't believe for one second that stuff's by accident. What the outcome's going to be, and who's behind it all, as Jay says, well, that we won't know that till it actually happens. But just be aware and just be prepared for almost anything to happen within the next 3 weeks. And I still say I hope all of you paid attention to the minimum of 3 months. If everything goes dark, you better have 3 months worth of stuff in your home, and you should be thinking about some sort of radio communicator as shortwave or ham radio if everything goes dark. It may not go dark, and it may not go dark over the entire nation, but if you're in an area that's susceptible, you should be thinking about those things. If it's within your means to make preparations in that area. So did you get out everything you had, Jay?
Yes. I just ending on a note to try to give people a few laughs and maybe give them food for thought for an additional idea. And Yahweh bless, and thank you for letting me let my voice on here on your program. I appreciate it.
Yeah, Jay, absolutely. You're a stellar guy, just like Jimmy and all the rest of our group. But, Yahweh bless your heart, buddy, and stay in touch, and we'll see what happens here in the near future.
Cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll just close out here with a little short prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to get together with the men and to discuss things and to share with our listening audience. We would pray that you would be with us in these troubling and perilous times. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us the conditions of the world at this time, and sure enough, that's exactly what we've got. We also have the great shakening and upheaval all around us. We also have potentially a storm hitting our coastline as a geopolitical storm is brewing as well. Watch over the lives of your sons and daughters, those that love you with all their hearts and are doing their best to live by your law and to awaken our sleeping people and resisting evil with everything that we've got in every way that we can. Walk with us, talk with us, protect us from our enemies, and most of all, we ask, Father, would you please come back and just settle this whole thing? That would make life so much easier. Just come back and sit on the throne that you are the only one qualified to sit upon. And we ask all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.